Good evening. We are coming to you from the Egyptian Church of Kadash Christ Incorporated. This program is for one group of people and one group only, the children of God. We no longer have to wonder or wander off the straight path. For those who want to make a difference, for those that want to know the truth to so many unanswered questions, and for those who are tired of the devil taking control over everything in their lives and the lives of their children, this program is set up for those who want to be in God's kingdom here on earth, according to the scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, we must take back control of our lives. We, the Egyptian Church of Kadash Christ Incorporated, are reaching out to embrace all the children of God, as it states in Psalms chapter 82, verse 6. I have said ye are God, and all of you are children of the Most High. Next, you will be listening to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Malachi Lee Yortel, in question and answer form.
Robert,
I wanted to ask, what is the purpose of life?
Woo! You know, it's so deep. That's a very simple question and a very, very simple answer. But most people try to make it complicated, right? The purpose of life, or in our sense of living, is, first of all, the acknowledgement that there's as much evil in us as good, each and every one of us, and that the old Catholic concept of being born of sin is in fact right. I'll tell you what exactly I mean by that and how. You take a little baby or put two children together. One will steal from the other. One will scratch the face of the other. How do they learn to steal from one another? What makes one jealous of another to scratch or pull their hair? You follow what I'm saying? They will lie. They will go and take something from a kid and walk away with it in a mall or so, and you might start hearing some other kid cry and look over and realize that your child have actually stole a toy from another kid. You follow? And now you got to take this back and take the toy back. You say, where you get this from? What did you say when you was a kid? I found it. So now, before children even reach the age of imagination, where they start to shape constructive images in their mind of what they'd like to be, before they do that, they already know how to treat each other bad. This is a subtle confession that there is evil in us. The next question should come up with, how does evil get in us at birth? And that's very simple also, because when we open the Bible to Revelation chapter 12, and it starts speaking of the fall of the angels, meaning falling from grace, and a third of them fell with a being called Halal, which is what they have in Hebrew, which comes out to be Lucifer, or the torchbearer, or the light bearer in English. When they fell, they came to where? Earth. It says right in the Bible in Revelation chapter 12, there was found no place at all for them in heaven anymore. So they were sent down to earth after the war in heaven, where, as we explained last week, Michael and his messengers fought against Azazel, which is one of his names, and Otanush and his messengers. You follow that? And Danush had a gospel to preach on earth the same way that God has a gospel that must be preached on this earth. You follow that? So he came down, but you're left there if you don't notice that it says, as our sister got the Bible open, that old serpent, we got to jump back to Genesis to find out, but we're in Revelation. So if he goes back to that old serpent, where do we find him at? Where do we find evil beings coming to earth? In Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 says the sons of God. Right? And then later on, it says there was giants in the earth in those days. But the word giants there is, as I said earlier, Nephilim, or those who Nephil fell down or came to earth. Then what did they do when they came to earth? They chose specific women. They say all that they chose, which means they didn't just take anybody. They said in Hebrew, they looked for women that were tov. That's the word, tov. Because whenever they say good in the Tanakh, they use the word tov in Hebrew. Whenever they use the word evil, they use the word ra'a. Not to be mistaken with re or ra or roy. They use the Hebrew used for ra or aman ra. But they say tov. So they chose a specific woman, good women, tov. And they went into them. Stop. Here we got beings coming down from heaven. Some of them were giants. And they went into women. What does went into women mean? They had sexual intercourse with them. Because it says they produced children. If they went into a woman and had sexual intercourse with them, I know there's some doctors and nurses in here, then you know they had to have chromosomes. They had to have the 46 chromosomes that the human beings on earth have in order to give up 23 in order to make a 46 or produce a child. So now, if some of those people that came down were sons of God, and some of those people that came down were giants in the earth, and we know one of the giants in the earth are called Imims, and you look up Imims, it means evil men in Hebrew, so we know that some of them giants were evil men. You with me? And those giant men, or Watusis, went into those pygmy women or little people and produced a seed that's in between, that's above 4 feet and beneath 7 feet, which describes most of us sitting here or standing. You get me? So how did the devil get into our when he was cast out of heaven? He came down to earth as giants and went into earth women and produced children that were good and evil. But then he had to activate the part of the human being that he could use. You with me? So he had to make evil fair seeming. You see? He had to make it attractive. Like it says in Genesis chapter 4, when God, or the Elohim, are speaking to Cain, and it tells him, all you have to do is the right thing. But if you don't, sin, everybody says the devil, sin is waiting for you at the door, and or lying, and you look it up, it means crouched down, stooping, and hiding. Right? And he desires you, but you shall rule over him. Read it. He desires you, but you shall rule over him. What is that? The doorway out of the grace of God, the devil waits there, or sin itself. And it wants to differentiate Lucifer or the serpent or the devil for the act. That's why it says there's sin, not Satan. Because when you walk through the door of the grace of God and get out of his grace, then you become the advocate of sin. See, when you leave the church and you're fed up with the disciplines and the restrictions and the I can't and they won't let me, you're going out to have some fun. You're going out to have a good time. That's the comfort. I just want to be able to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, to whomever I want to do it to. Am I right? So what you do is you get out in the world and you find out that the devil is not really having fun, but rather the devil is raising funds off your stupidity. Because he says, come into my party, but give me $27. Come into my concert, but give me $50. Go get some new nails. How much it costs? How much it costs? Give me some new nails. $20. I gotta get my hair extended. Another $30. I gotta get me a perm that's not really permanent because it disappears, but I wanna get the illusion of having something permanent. How much? Now I need a new wardrobe because when I was in the church, I wasn't allowed to wear mini skirts and show these pretty legs I got. I couldn't wear a tight skirt and show this nice buttocks I got. I couldn't wear low line and show this breast I got. I couldn't gloss my lips and show how kissable I am. You know what I'm saying? So now you think you're going out there to have fun, but in actuality, you are raising funds for the devil's propagation program by going right out and giving him all your money. He's laying right there. The next thing is, when you get dressed up and you start looking good, you need some place to go. And if there ain't no place to go, guess what you're going to do? Let's have a party. Let's call our friends together and have a good time. He bring the marijuana, you bring the wine, you get the girls, you get the guys, and let's just all go here. That's what it means by you shall rule over him. That's what it means by you shall rule over sin. You left with the intention of getting in trouble. You're all breaking away from good, but now you're out there and you're the one saying, let's have a party. You are now the devil. You're now ruling sin because you are now the advocate of sin and breeding sinners. How did this happen? It got inside of us because of a war that takes place inside of us called will. And that so-called devil is in us through our genes. Cast out of heaven and came down here and married women and had sex and gave birth to us. And there's a constant war going on inside of good against or good versus evil. Not so much outside the human body, but all around us, inside of us. You follow that? So now he has to what? Stimulate the evil. So as we spoke about earlier, those cigarette commercials are illegal and alcohol commercials are illegal. Every cinema, or you Americans call them movies, we go to, somebody got a cigarette in their mouth. And it's usually the prettiest woman or the handsome or toughest guy. He's so tough he's smoking. He then surrendered to nicotine, but he's tough. He can beat and flip and trip. Well, or in the case of, let's say, the new movie with Jackie Chan, Rush Hour 2, he's not smoking. Chris is not smoking, but the environment of all people drinking and smoking because it starts basically in a bar. You take the word bar, B-A-R, and read it in Hebrew, which would be from right to left, and what do you get? Rab, Lord. You see? That's their place. You follow that? That's how they work. They will make things look good. Now the television is saturated with come to South Beach, Florida. Everything is travel to Florida, go to Las Vegas. The devil is advertising. He's stimulating the evil in us. You follow? See, the hip-hop generation killed something. You know what it was? Lust. You realize that? Oh, yeah, the law of lust was gone in the hip-hop generation because their pants were too baggy, forced men to see your butt. Kids were walking around with baggy clothes. Things wasn't fitting. Right? They took off the body-fitting clothes, the seductive part of me going to a party. So I can scope on people's voluptuousness or the lack thereof. You see that? So he hurried up and got rid of that. And now he got Puffy and all them guys looking like idiot pimps. And a bunch of women looking like prostitutes. He got it back in. They got blonde wigs. And I seen a video come on and people are painted purple. And it reminded me of what they described Sodom and Gomorrah of. Little Kim and Foxy Brown. And they initiated a new young girl who wasn't a part of their clique. But that's how he does it. So the devil is already inside of you and I. I didn't forget the question, the meaning of life. I'm going there. I got to let you know about what the heck is happening while we're living and see this condition we're in. So now deep down inside, me and you, we now have good and evil, and it's even in children. You understand? They'll beat each other up quick. So now, the meaning of life is while we are living, we have to perform our own personal exorcist. No preacher can help you. Only you. Because you know why? Because you're the only person you can't lie to. Because you can be talking to a person, they can tell you, I'm saved. I'm with you. And they'll be an outright lie because you can't touch and squeeze their heart and get into their heart and find out what's really going on in their head. So that exorcist of getting that evil out of you, only you can perform. And that's why you're living. And while you're in this process, the devil is making more evil fair seeming for you. So you can be in the church for a while and then get pulled down. And that's why Christ said, some of them have fallen back asleep. They come in and they fall out. Many are called, few are chosen. Judas was with them, but he was still a devil. Walking and talking with Christ, watching the miracles of Christ, but still a devil. Now, how could you think? How could you see Christ pick someone's ear up off the ground, put it back on their head in your presence, right there while you watch him do it, heal the person, and still turn him in? How could they have done that at that last hour? Ain't but one way they could have done it. Say it again. They had to be the devil's children. But they had to know who Christ was and didn't care about his healing power. They didn't care about the grace and the forgiveness that he was bringing and the power of eternal life and the resurrection. They had to know that and still turn him in. Judas, who saw the things he was doing, saw how he helped people and how he never hurt anyone, still betrayed him. You see, now, Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him. So Jesus, at that point, is speaking as Lord God. See, when it, now I understand Lord God versus Lord and versus God. Jesus is the Lord. Get this to your head. Jesus is the Lord. He is not the Elohim. He is the Lord. Jesus is a Yahweh. He is not the Elohim. If he was an Elohim, he wouldn't have called on an Elohim from the cross. He said, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. He shortened it to my God. You follow? Now, who is the God that God worships? Do you hear me? Who is the God that God worships? And that's deep, right? Because God went into the garden and fell on his face and he prayed, said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass by me. So God, Lord Jesus Christ, is on his knees praying to God. And that sounds complicated, isn't it? Not if you go to Psalms 82, verse 6. Somebody read it out to us, please.
I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High.
I have said, ye are gods. Boy, that can make you feel important and big gesture. I'm a god. Right? But they made sure they slap you down real quick. But all of you gods are still children of the, but you have to look in the Hebrew to find out the name there, because everybody keeps saying they forgot, lost the name of God, right? And we don't know how to pronounce it, Yahweh or Jahweh or Java or Yahoo or Jehovah. Oh, we forgot. Wrong. That ain't even nowhere near the name. Those are symbolic letters. The name is right there in Hebrew, El Elyon. The Most High, from the Hebrew word Al, on high, or in Arabic, El Aliyu, the Most High. Because he would have to be the Most High in order for God to worship him. You see that? So Jesus worshiped El Elyon. Why? Because Jesus identified himself with Father Abraham. And Melchizedek came to Abraham and told him, Abraham, you're worshiping the wrong God. You should be worshiping the Most High God. Elyon, Elyon, I. So you know what I'm saying? We have got to make an attachment as children of God, not giants. We have got to make a connection with the presence of the Most High God. He cannot stay the Most High God all pure if your impurity is allowed in his presence. Do you hear me? God can't stay clean if you're coming there dirty. So, we have to get the evil out of ourselves. We have to perform our own exorcist, get the devil out of us, and become pure enough to enter back into the presence of God, the Most High God. But God, out of his compassion and his mercy, sent a way. He sent a way to get there. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the no one is getting there unless you come to me. See, so Jesus is the Most High God's bodyguard. He's like, hey, you ain't coming here unless you're not going to desecrate the holy. I know your kind. Because y'all walk around looking pure and be wolves in sheep's clothing. Y'all have the temple. But inside that temple is what? I know the blasphemy those that call themselves Jews and are not. They are the synagogue of saints. Jesus is saying, when I'm looking at you, I could be looking at a very beautiful synagogue or temple. But behind those eyes, down in that heart, may live the devil himself. And I am not letting you come before my Father until you are cleansed, until you wash your robes white, pure in the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't mean you got to go bleed. It means you got to see what he suffered. And now, you know, so deep in all of Christendom, what Christ suffered, they ignore. See, they're not talking about what he suffered. They are constantly discussing the suffering. Say it. The suffering. Not what he suffered. What did he suffer? Betrayal. He suffered betrayal. You follow that? Because an all-knowing Lord put his trust in a mortal or mortals, and he was what? Betrayed by him. Ain't that what the Bible tells us? We're so busy focusing on when he's on the cross, when he gets off the cross, that we're not seeing what he's telling us by I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. Follow in my footsteps. Pick up your cross and follow me. So he's telling us, look what happened to me. And now look who's standing next to you. Look who you're hugging. Look who you're kissing. Look who you're socializing with. Look at your children. Because the devil don't just move from place to place. He moves according to the Bible in our very genes. Our zira in Hebrew. You know the word zira in Hebrew for seed in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. When he says, I'm going to put iniquity between thy seed and the serpent's seed. The Hebrew word is zira. You know what it comes out to be when it gets into Greek? Sperma. Look it up. Get a Bible dictionary. Don't believe me. Check it out. You know me. They're telling you. But Jesus said that. You know what he said in John to the devil? He said to him, you are of your, say it again, the, say it again. He said to these people, I know why y'all want to hurt me. Because you are of your, so the devil had children. And Jesus was standing there looking at a group of people who came to hurt him. And he said, I know who y'all are. Now these were so-called Levitical priests. Wolves in sheep's clothing. And he said, I know you. You can't trick me. I'm the Son of God. He said, you are of your father, the devil. And he was a liar and a murderer since the very beginning. You know, Grandma said, well, if someone lies, they steal. If someone steals, they kill. Remember your grandmother used to say that? Jesus knew that philosophy. Now you and I are raging a war inside, which is being activated by things outside. You follow that? And walking down the street, holding hands, hugging up, dancing, the devil. You hear me? Walking around with human devils. They're not white folk. You like that. You black devils would love for us to think that only white people could be devils. That was such a convenient trip we went through from the 30s to 1970. Nigga, devil, we see you. And you are of your father, the devil. You are a liar and a killer. You understand? And every one of us have met a black devil. Though it's more fun to call all white folks devil. That makes it sound good. All white people are the devil. You the devil. That's why you saying that. Now, the next thing is how to get the devil out of you. Right? Yeah, I tell you. Is there a way, Doc? Huh? Yes. By the word. By the word are you made whole. Because, like I said last week, man does not live by bread alone, but by, and you're asking me about the meaning of life. Man does not live by bread alone. You see that? You need the word. Now, what's tricky about that word? Oh, my goodness. Are y'all ready? Praise God, are y'all ready? You see this Bible over here this sister has? It's broken up into two major sections. One is called the, and the other is called the, don't that sound good? I'm saying, say it again, the Old Testament and the, now if you had a choice to drive an old car or a new car, which would you drive? If you had a choice to wear old clothes or new clothes, which would you wear? Of course. So, I mean, the term New Testament makes you instinctively want to go there first. The only thing wrong is that there's no such thing as a New Testament. If you open the Bible, I hate to do this to y'all, but it's my job. I'm only doing my Father's work. If you open the Bible to the first book of the New Testament, you come up to Matthew, right? Let's read what it says. Let's see if this is introducing a New Testament. What does it start off by saying? You got it over here? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. That's where you started. What does it say?
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
It didn't go that way, y'all. It went that way. The Bible didn't open up from Matthew's walking towards the 20th century. The Bible opens up telling you go back. Read it again.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
It's going this way. So how could this be a New Testament? How can we be being introduced to a new doctrine if it's telling me in the first verse to go back to Abraham? And Abraham had that old-time religion. You see? So now we got to find out who put New Testament on there. Guess who? A devil. And you know what the devil did in there? Oh, he's busy. He brought in new laws so he could cancel out God's laws. Because God made a covenant with Abraham. And what kind of covenant? An everlasting covenant. That means it ain't going to never break. It ain't going to never change. Ain't that right? And then when Lord Jesus came, he said, and this is in St. John chapter 1, verse 17. He says, what? The law or numbers came by way of Moses or Moshe, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Then he said, right? The law will not change, not one jot, nor one tittle. So if Jesus said, I am not bringing a new law, I am only using the law of Moses, I am not here to change the law, but to complete it, complete the prophecy that's mentioned in Psalms 23, where it introduces you to Jesus and what Jesus is to you. That's why it doesn't say God is. It says the Lord is my shepherd. That's talking about Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not desire. The word want is in English there, but the implication is desires. Because desire leads to suffering. Wanting. So it says, the Lord, Jesus, is my. So I'm just one of the sheep in his flock. But what else did he say is in his flock? He said goats. He said, my congregation is made up of sheep and goats. Good people, and he knew he had deceivers among the people. You with me, y'all?
Good evening. We are coming to you from the Egyptian Church of Kadash, Christ Incorporated. This program is for one group of people and one group only, the children of God. We no longer have to wonder or wander off the straight path. For those who want to make a difference, for those that want to know the truth, there's so many unanswered questions. And for those who are tired of the devil taking control over everything in their life and the lives of their children, this program is set up for those who want to be in God's kingdom here on earth. According to the scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, we must take back control of our lives. We, the Egyptian Church of Kadash Christ Incorporated, are reaching out to embrace all the children of God, as it states in Psalm chapter 82, verse 6. I have said ye are God, and all of you are children of the Most High. Next, you will be listening to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Malachi Z. Yortel, in question and answer form.
Hallelujah, Father, go with this again. And they were
dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, throughout them out of every nation under heaven.
So now, the tribe of Judah has been scattered into every nation. Speaking to everybody. The same way you tried to do to here, some of y'all are here from London, some of y'all are here from Puerto Rico, some of y'all are here from Jamaica, some of y'all are here from Brooklyn, some of y'all are here from Africa, some of y'all are, right?
Yeah.
You're all here, and you're speaking in someone else's language.
Yes.
And the angel wants to speak to you, he's not going to speak to you in Bata or Kru or Mandingo or Ashanti, because you just won't understand it no more. He's going to speak to you in a language you can understand. And that's the power God has and gave to his disciples. Because this is an annual gathering where everybody came with preparation to hear the message of whether or not Jesus had returned. And the sign was this, that they came out and there were Jews there and they were as well as all of every nation, verse 6. Now when this was made, if I took you back to Genesis, to the story of Nimrod, you would find the same statement. You'll go back to the exact day when everybody's tongues were stood up. When God said they were confounded and no man could understand each other. The day he stopped us from talking one language. his language. Now he's restoring at this moment. Way down here in the book of Acts, man now is going to speak one language, but everybody's going to hear him speaking. And so what is that language? They're going to tell you what that language of God is. Go ahead.
And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these who speak Galileans?
The language is Galilean. Jesus spoke Galilean. Man from
Galilee.
Man of Jesus is the Son of God. Then the language of God is
Galilean.
And Galilean is Syriac. That's all, God. We look up, do some research on Galilee, and you find out it's Syriac. It's an ancient form of what became Arabic today, not what they call Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't speak Hebrew. He spoke Galilean. He wrote his name in Galilean, and he used Phoenician script. So that's what the Jews were taught while in Babylon. Yeshua. When you hear Esau, if you say Esau in the Quran, that's Greek. That's really Greek. When you spell out the word Esau in Arabic, you can put the letters to it that becomes Isusus, which is the Greek word for Jesus. The Quran has the wrong name. It should be Yeshua there. But that's not Arabic. Okay, go ahead.
And now hear ye every man in our own tongue, wherein he was born.
Now, God made it possible for all of these men who spoke one language to speak to a massive amount of people. But each person heard them in their own language in which they were born. This is why I go up against people in a Pentecostal church who keep saying, that means go shama lama lama ding dong. That's not what they say. The words are right here that this is languages that people were raised and born in from different nations. These are actual languages. Yes. There's not no gibberish. That's demonic possession. Mm-hmm. God sends a comforting spirit. He doesn't send an uncomforting spirit to throw people on the floor and foam out the mouth. And that's not God. That's another spirit. Another Christ. We're going to go to that quote. All right? Let me get there. Now they're starting to describe to you the actual languages. They're giving you Greek and they're giving you Protestant. Lydia is Persian. Right? What I want y'all to see is for all these people say, I've never heard no Egyptian Church of Christ. I want you to go to verse 10 because I haven't heard of Egyptian Church of Christ yet. Then, verse 10 says, people were there from Egypt. They were there from Egypt and they heard the disciples talking to them in Egyptian. So don't tell me there's no such thing as an Egyptian Church of Christ or Kodesh. Because the Bible says the Egyptians were there for the day of Pentecost. Now, was the Muslims there?
Yes.
Let's go on a couple of lines down. Go ahead.
And a priest and a Arabian.
Go on to verse 11.
And
the Arabians were there.
Yes.
So all the Muslims were going to be looking for Christ too.
Right.
And that's why there was a doctrine of Christianity in Mecca when Muhammad was born. But the moment Muhammad got confused about his vision, he was taken to a Christian minister who collected the scripture. It was his wife's uncle. You follow that? And he told him, that's the angel Gabriel. You must be a messenger of God. And that's how Islam got started. All he was doing is preparing everybody for the coming of Jesus. But somewhere along the line, what happened, y'all? The devil got in. What happened in the Church of Christ? The devil all got in. Started perverting the law. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. It's all about this. Started adding Roman doctrine. Have these books in New Testament things written by Paul and not by him. Right. Hebrews is not by him. Acts is not by him. Corinthians is not by him. See the books he had there. He was dead. He had his head cut off in Rome in the year 37. Most of these books were written in the 60s.
Right.
Right. That was 30 years after he was dead. And he's getting credit for these books. And his disciples, Luke and them, are adding his name to our faith that he doesn't want to do it. He opposed Christ the day he died. He was on his way following Christ. That's why he was on his way to Damascus, because he didn't believe Jesus was dead. Mm-hmm. But he said he was on his way to persecute Jesus' disciples.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus took that same road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. Talk to me. So the Muslims were there. And the Egyptians were there.
Right.
But we can't stand up and start beating down people and say, you can't be a Russian church. You can't be a Greek church. You can't be an Orthodox church. Though Christ himself was looking for his own people. And Paul and took it upon themselves to go out and teach anybody they want. And those people they talked, you know what they did? They took the Roman doctrine, Catholicism, put it together, and now you have what you call Christianity.
Yeah.
And in some kind of way have snuck in the Roman deity. They snuck in all kind of things, you know, that is not in the doctrine like Christmas.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing wrong with Christmas if we're dealing with it as the birth of Jesus Christ. But Jesus was not born on December
25th.
I'm saying Father God the second was born on December 25th. Babylonian deity. And the lighting up of the tree. You know what I'm saying? That's in the Bible too. It tells you don't do that. But see, that's the Easter with Esther and the Persian doctrine. We eat it in, but our children have a different story of it. Our children are not wise enough to know it's death, so it's all right then. As long as they think this here Christmas tree represents the tree of life in the garden. You follow? And the angel on the top is the angel of God. You know what I'm saying? On this day, Christmas, this is the day our Lord and Savior was born 2,000 years ago in manger. And the wise men came, you know what I'm saying? And just as God gave us a gift by giving us his son, we give our children gifts.
Right.
You know, all there's an interpretation is teaching the word of God and doesn't drift off into paganism school.
Yeah.
Because it's a mood that Christmas brings with all of us.
Right.
Right. It's a mood that Thanksgiving brings with us. You've got to want to get to understand them. Thanksgiving, I go right to Psalm chapter 26, verse 7, and I get my Thanksgiving right there. I can read from 1 to 7, but 7 gets you right on the spot. So we said, oh, this is Thanksgiving up. I'm not worried about no pilgrims and no Native Americans. As a Native American, last thing we do is celebrate the pilgrims come over here taking our land. So I got to find my place for my kids. I can't do that propaganda. The kids will get lost. You lose them. And like it says in Proverbs 22, if you don't raise the child on the way that you go, they're going to depart from you. You start depressing these kids by depriving them of every little thing. That's why I was so happy as the brother Kirk Franklin has changed the music of gospel to contemporary. But now I have Sunday school classes every here on Sundays with the kids. And I had a whole stack of his tapes. I just gave him tapes. All the gospel tapes with all the new music. Now they got, oh, you like hip-hop nigga? Here's hip-hop gospel. I'll find out if you're a little devil now. But if you say you like the music, I'm going to give it to you. If you don't want it, then I know it ain't the music. You're looking for the demonic words in there. I know what you are, so I don't want you going to swear around. Get on away from me. Anybody got to go there? Let your voice be heard.
And tell of all thy wondrous works.
Bingo. Thanksgiving. I'm fine. As long as I can give that to my son and daughter and not no story about no Caucasians coming over here beating up the Native Americans and leaving them with a turkey. So we can match up all those things. You know what I'm saying? Keep this fertilization. All right?
Yeah.
Where do you want to go from here, y'all? Okay. 2 Corinthians 11:4. You got me going back here. This is what people don't realize we're warned against. Who's there?
Yeah.
11:4?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what happens in 11:4. I want you to listen to something. Because what's being told us here is that there is another Christ. And it's not the Antichrist. It doesn't say Antichrist. John, 1 John tells us about the Antichrist. Thessalonians tells us about the Antichrist and the coming of the end of the world. That's only 1 and 2. You get a whole story about what's going on in the world right now. But today it's talking about people preaching and people teaching and people getting possessed in the church and people walking up and hitting people on the head by getting static electricity and making like they're healing people, which is nowhere in the Bible.
Mm.
But Jesus Christ said, I know about the people coming. Well, I heal in my name. You know, I never knew you. You work with an iniquity. That cuts people off from Jesus while Reverend so-and-so is getting in between. Ain't no way he got you with I am the way. Don't say, I am Reverend so-and-so in the way. Get your butt on out of the way. Get everybody in the church directed at Jesus from Jesus to the Father. Stop being in between.
Mm-hmm.
But when John fell at the feet of the angel of Revelation, the angel goes, oh, get up. I am your fellow servant in tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Angel didn't even take that position.
That's right.
Go ahead, let's read it here.
For the angel that cometh preacheth another Jesus.
Say it again.
For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus.
Somebody is preaching about another Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Paul.
Yeah.
Paul is teaching another Jesus.
That's right.
He's teaching an uncircumcised, an unsabbath keeping.
Mm-hmm.
A Lord that God has, see, Jesus said, not one jot, no one can shall be removed from the law until all be fulfilled. I did not come to change, but to
fulfill.
You go to St. John chapter 1, verse 17, you'll find right up there, it says the law, the namus, came from Moses, but grace and truth. So the law came from Moses. then Jesus can't change the law.
Because
the law is God's law. And Jesus is under God's law as his son. But Paul came along and repeatedly changed the law. That's the one that we've been watching. I better watch out for these ones you got out there. A whole bunch of preachers. And they are antichrist, they're Paulites.
Right.
And the devil gives them big money, so they have large, what do you call it, turning programs. Some of them turn you all with makeup and pink hair and all that kind of stuff.
Don't
see that in the body of Christ. Don't see no modest apparel there. Right. 2 Timothy, do not write down about your hair. You follow? But we have got to be warned against the fact that someone is out there propagating another Jesus.
That's right.
But it doesn't stop there. What else does he preach? This man is preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached.
Or is he preaching another spirit which we have not received? Or another gospel which we have not accepted?
Somebody is preaching another Jesus, another gospel, and what are they doing? Invoking another spirit. You want to know what spirit they're invoking? Go back to verse 3. But y'all start at 4.
As the serpent beguiled Eve, so the mind shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
You gave?
Yeah.
And why did Paul do it? Go to verse 2.
I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have denounced you for one husband, that I may present you as a chastened to Christ.
And that version of Christ talks about the church. It tells us the church is to be prepared. Like there's a harlot, there's also a church.
Right?
The bride of Christ. Paul envied Jesus.
Yes.
Paul was jealous of Jesus, like the Romans were, because the people listened to him. The same way today, if a man got a man in audience listened to him, the system right away calls him a cult and turns his own people against him. Before the people even listen to what he has to say, they go around spreading lies. Everybody, well, I heard you. Sit down and shut up and listen first and find out, walk up to the person asking their views on what they believe before you let the devil do that to you and turn you against your own. We need all the people in the body of Christ we can get to conquer this devil. The devil is fitting. Usama's the devil? Yeah, so is Bush. Both of them are killing people. And neither one of them got God's permission, and neither one of them are killing anybody in the name of God. All that stuff is going on, all of that is the devil's work. You look at the wrong way. Now they got preachers up there, and these preachers are preaching, yeah, it's all right to go over and blow up some people in Afghanistan. No, it's not. Thou shalt not kill. It ain't right to go blow up anybody. Well, they broke the world day to prove it. I don't want to go too far. Let's go into this again. He said, 1 Timothy 2:9. Go ahead, read it for somebody.
In like manner, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, which they
may and stay sober.
Not with braided hair or gold.
Well, you pick the outfit you want to wear, God, on your own. Anything else you want to talk about?
I have a question.
Go ahead, yeah.
In Numbers chapter 30.
About women not having souls?
Not so much that.
Yes, it is. Don't. It's about women not having souls.
So, I want to know, what is the vow that women have to take?
Chastity. It takes a vow of chastity. This stuff you should not ask. You shouldn't ask. Because this is something sisters do not like to hear. Okay? In the house of Israel, a woman has a vow of chastity, which means she would not have sexual intercourse with anybody until she's married, and that would be the last person she ever slept with. And if she had sex with anybody before she was legally married, she falls in the class of being a harlot. That was the laws of Israel. That's how she got the God's law. Right? Who's quiet? Leviticus 19 and 20, we'll tell you all about it. The vow of chastity. Virginity is the word chastity. Yes, stand up, please.
John.
Which John?
John, St. John.
Okay.
Chapter 8, verse 51.
Go ahead.
It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if man keeps my saying, he shall never see death. My question is, what is the saying that is?
It tells you over and over again that you have to bear witness that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 literally tells you that.
Okay.
It tells you that death came from Adam and eternal life comes from Jesus.
Mm.
Jesus gives you the power to put on an incorruptible spirit.
Right.
Okay? And an immortal spirit. So by Adam, man died, by Jesus Christ. So if you're afraid to use the name Jesus Christ, you are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to not die one death. But the Bible, the book of Revelation, says it's the second death. Let me tell you about the first and second death. The first death is when you get hit by that Mack truck. The second death is when your soul is raised before God. And the determination of, do you go into heaven or hell? The second death means your soul is condemned to death. But if you are a person who bears witness to the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, the Son of God, then you're brought back to life and you live eternally in a new world, a world where there is no more death. That's the deep thing. That's why it keeps on saying there's no more crying. Revelation chapter 21 says the former things are gone. That means trees don't die. If other people don't even cry because nobody does anything, anybody to make them hurt or cry, they say they wipe away your tears and your sorrows and suffering. When they say, why? They don't have no hormones in there, no warriors, no this, no, they can hold it, or people ain't going to be there. Revelation 21 tells you about that. Verse 8.
But the fearful and unbelieving.
But the prayerful, they're loud.
But the fearful and unbelieving.
Go ahead.
And the abominable. And murderers.
And the abominable. Who ain't going to be there?
And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
God's kingdom coming down to earth. You better be ready. You better get your bridegroom clothes on. You better get ready.
And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And I myself shall be with them, and be their God.
Now why can God be here? Why can God be here on earth then? Because it is his kingdom now.
Right.
The devil is gone.
That's
right. And that's why he told Cain in the beginning, I ain't going to Nod.
Right.
I don't go to places like that where people kill people. That's why you're getting out of here and going over there. Because you one of those kind of people.
Yeah, right.
You want to kill people like your brother Cain. I asked you where your brother get all sarcastic, all smart. I'm sending you over there with a guy like that. That's a tough boy that you play on tough, then he got to go to jail.
Right.
He go to jail, he's going to land Nod. A whole bunch of tough guys in jail.
Right.
He was tough when he was over there and he did it. When he gets up there and in prison, where guys come from all over the world, then he meets tough.
Yeah,
right. That's why Cain said, I don't want to go there. But you see, the tough guy, the neighbor would walk out and have on the side. When that judge said, 5.5 years to take penitentiary, next, we got to get up. Yeah, see, he turned to the lawyer and said,
that
thing going to jail? And the lawyer said, yeah, I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, when he walked in jail, a whole bunch of guys sound like this.
Hey.
How you doing there? After Thanksgiving came, God said, you have to kill people, go to a place where people kill people. I don't want to go there. But Cain was good. He was powerful. He went over there, married, had a wife, had a son called Enoch, and built the whole city. He was all on a good devil from birth. Man, this is what I like.
Okay. He wiped away all the tears from his eyes. And there shall be no more death.
Talk to me.
Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away.
Can you ask for anything better?
No.
That's what God promises. Now you can decide whose side you want to be on. You can decide whether or not you can be amongst the 250,000 people that lost their jobs. But the devil didn't promise them anything. Or people that were up in world trade center working to finance the devil's control over people and lost their lives for 1 hour. A great city and came into the north. And people just lost it out. Imagine all the souls. It attracted.
Ooh.
They didn't have a chance to repent. They went to work thinking money. What popular man gave the world? They going to work to get rich when that building collapsed. And then they decide after the building collapsed, now let's go pray.
Yeah.
It should have been, let's pray before the building collapsed. But no, that's not how people think. They think they can wait to the last minute and then go out and get them ready.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that way. Anybody else? Yeah.
I'm reading from James 2:17, and it says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. And my question is the work it's talking about, is it the work that we have to do as far as
Christ said, work, faith without works is faith in vain. That means you just can't walk around being holier. And now you gotta get something done.
Right.
You just can't be saved. You gotta go out there and save some people. You gotta pick up your cross and follow him. You gotta become a fisher of men. And you don't reach the pinnacle of Christship until you are willing to die like he was for your sins, for your fellow man's sins. That's when you become a body of Christ. When you realize that you might have to die for what you preach. And that's when the disciples did. They went out and all of them, they were hung. Decapitated, they were tortured for the word of God. Listen, he's persecuted after righteous name's sake. So you get that next level of perfection when you realize that nothing matters but service to God. But if you have faith and just faith and don't do nothing, understand that God is not after that. Get off your butt. You know what I'm saying? Because he said, because you're all fishers, now you'll become fishers of men. But you're going out to throw the net to bring people into the body of Christ. So that's all I'm telling you, that faith is not enough. You got to do something. A whole bunch of people just sit around all introverted. all wrapped up inside themselves and don't even try to propagate the word of God. Well, then that's not good enough. Once you get the word of God and the spirit of God, you got to go tell people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is gospel. What they call it? Good news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, spread the good news. They'll wake up people. Do you realize the powers in the Lafayette Nation? How many followers we have all over the world?
Yeah.
That's going to start spreading the gospel. Those who are with me, those who are not, I don't care.
Yeah.
Who's going to start spreading the word? Mm-hmm. And you'll be ready. They don't have no idea the power we have. They be popping up all over television, all over the place. They'll look and say, oh, I've seen a bunch of guys that are hunks with Jesus on it.
Yeah.
You'll see them all on television, a bunch of movie stars. Who's 22?
Yeah.
They're all Jesse Jackson congregation, all the way black now.
That's
everybody's
right.
Starting to pop up. Oh, they're getting ready. Something's going on around here.
Yeah.
Our body's getting strong. We're going to make some major moves in the world to bring out people into the body of Christ. And nobody can do it better than the Walker.
That's right.
Because there ain't too many people who can stand against the Walker. Ain't no Muslim. Ain't no Muslim can walk against the Walker. A Muslim walk against the Christian, argue back and forth about the Quran. And try to make it look like you know what he's talking about. But Abby Nawapian takes the screws out of his wagon real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Them old guys, them old man still be jumping them down boxes down there. So people realize they can't handle you because someone prepared to work for you.
Yeah.
Gave you a doctrine so you can open it up and go right up against them and say, let's see, you want to argue or do you want to sit down like brothers and break bread?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to argue, then I'm going to argue with you. But if you want to sit down and break bread in Christ, then let's do that as brothers. If you want to try to be happy, I got some buckets. If I was going to do that, that's fair. If I, that's not the path I want to take, but I will defend the word.
Right, yeah.
My last
right.
Okay?
Who was before me? Which Jesus do you worship? Who and what are you? Remember these classic two lights and two states? Well, they're back. Brought to you by the Holy Tabernacle Ministry. In the 70s on up through the 80s, he took us through class 1, Islam. Then class 2, Christianity. On up through class 3, which was the total truth. The religion of Abraham for his chosen people, the Muslims. As time progressed, we progressed. And now it is time to learn to speak the real, complete facts. The laws of Nuwahu, known as right now. Sounds right to me, as brought to the planet Earth by the Elohim. Listen to the soul-stirring voice of the greatest teacher of this day and time as he answers all questions put forth. We don't have time to waste with false teachers and leaders who don't know their beliefs. The information on these tapes may appear to be different to you than what is being taught now, but it's not. The information is as right and exact today as it was then. If you are a child of the stars, and this information is for you. If you're not, then it's not. For all of you who want to hear the many schools we have been to, or if you want to remember the nourishing history and growth of right now, come follow the Lamb. He has the whole truth. Listen to his faith on your truth, your salvation. For more information on HTM products, tapes, and book listings, contact the Holy Tabernacle Ministry, Post Office Box 4490. Eastern Prince George, 31024.
Well, so the problem is, understand, it didn't come to the physical plane. The closer it comes to the physical plane, it says the more evil he generates. What does that mean in relation to the time we're in now?
I was speaking last night, and I explained to them the devil has total control. It's a fighting situation. He has the world under control. It's not about Satan himself being here. He's taking lead. He's out of reach. He has to be bathed again and brought back. You cannot only eliminate him, ever. You follow that? Only Allah can do that. We can. We can bind him. Like Solomon did, and like Allah did to Job, but he is now out of reach because we here have given him the glory. We have given Satan his glory by worshiping his image, his likeness, everything. You want to look like white people, you want to act like them, you've given him the glory and even power. The master himself, as they call him, of that verse, the wicked devil cursed him, has no need to reside here. He's gone because you're doing the burden of God. The only way to get him is that y'all would read Job chapter 1. You'll see how we have got to get together. Let's go on and see. You have the time here?
Yes.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. You're going to watch a plot, a plan by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because during the period of Job, the devil was rampant in the earth the way he is today. And this is why the Almighty set up the plot of Job. Nobody on this plane knows who wrote the book of Job. None of your scholars have been able to find out who wrote the book of Job. All right? Now, so we call him Ayub in Arabic. But let me read on. This Job person and his story was a whole plot to trap the devil. Let me show you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did it. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared the Almighty and obscured the devil. You understand about the man's nature now? Man Job was a righteous man, and he feared the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the devil couldn't touch him. The devil couldn't get him. Okay? That's pure the devil, that's what it means. Your boy, the devil. Number two. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. You see the perfect number 7? His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke and oxen, and 500 steers, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men in the East. You see what they're saying about him? He was wealthy. He was a happy father, and he was a righteous man. He feared the Almighty, and the devil could not sit next to him. This is the base for the devil to be set. You understand? How many people in that room can claim that prosperity? Total comfort and convenience, your family's healthy, your kids are there, you have all the wealth you need, and you fear the Almighty, worshiping him day and night. And the devil never tempts you, can't get you. You see? Number 4. And his son went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. That's Timothy. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Joseph sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered a burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and turned to Almighty in their hearts. Thus did Job continue. Not only did he was righteous and prayed for himself, but according to his tradition, a sacrifice against sin, he made sure that against anybody in his house did wrong, he was up every day to worship the Lord in a sacrifice for his children. Keep that house pure, unadulterated in any way. You understand? Let's go on. Now there was a day, and here's a plot instead. Now there was a day when the son of the Creator, meaning the angel, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also amongst them. Notice he only came amongst them this time. He's not testifying, nothing but proclaiming nothing. Now, how do you know these sons of God are angels? Because Lucifer was an angel before he fell from grace, right? So he was amidst of them comfortably as an angel when he was called before the throne of the Most High. Keep up with the plot now. Number 7. This is the most important number. And the Lord said unto Satan, wait. Coming down. Where did you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The devil was boasting about what he was doing in the world. So the Almighty, I just came from walking to and fro on the earth, up and down doing my thing. He said, that's the devil at work, talking about what he's doing. Now what does the Almighty say? And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant? No. Yeah, he's setting for the plot. You don't touch the plot yet, but what? The devil just told the Almighty, Heavenly Father, that he was walking up down the earth doing his devilment, and the Almighty pointed his finger at a righteous man and said, "Don't you him? Have thou considered my servant Job?" Now this is how he sets the plot. That there is none like him in the earth. So what do you tell the devil? All the different other people you have are not worth Job. You want him, but he's like, that's who you really want. These other people, they're just their property and hanging out with the streets. Don't need them. They don't count. You already got them working for you. You need those people in that tabernacle over there. That's the one you want to send. But get those people in the streets. They'll follow you. They worship you. They believe in you. This is the Lord is telling them. That there is none like him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man. One that fears God. And it's pure. You see it again? He repeats it again. That other guy that you are, but he just assures you. He will avoid you. You can't get him. Watch it out of the nine. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Doesn't he have a reason why he fears you? Because the devil tends to believe that everything is done through bargaining and exchange. That's how he works, through bargaining and exchange. And this is what people do to each other. They don't want to do nothing for you for nothing. That's why I say y'all got to live more by giving, stop living by taking. Everybody does something. The first thing you say, someone helps you, there must be a reason why you're doing it. You wouldn't be helping me for nothing. Ain't that how people say? That's the devil's thinking. The devil turned to the Almighty and said, in number 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Doesn't he have a reason why he fears you, God? 10. Has not thou known and heard about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Hasn't he got a covenant, something protecting him? Isn't he in your seal? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand. That means you made him very rich, but he worked for it. He didn't just come by it. Worked by the sweat of his brow. He worked for it with his hand. And his substance is increased in the land. Because he went out and worked, his substance is increased. He has a lot. You protect him. That's why he says it. You gave him a lot of wealth. You made him live comfortable. You gave him all the things he had. For what? 11. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. The devil is burning. He just bit the hook. But he put the Almighty to question. You see? The Almighty put forth a perfect man to take the devil's attention off the rest of the world. You understand that? And now the devil just bit the hook. He said, when you take away your guidance, he'll turn against you. Ain't that the question? Isn't that up again? As long as the light shines on you, the Quran says, you walk in. But as soon as it gets dark, you thrust the fingers in your head out of fear. And you turn away from Allah. You put your trust in other things. As long as things look good, I mean, you're smiling. As soon as things don't go your way, you curse the heavens, you damn God, and turn your way. When people are laying on hospital beds, they become the most religious people in the world. Oh God, just keep me well. I'll be like, I'll do this, I'll do that. As soon as they're on their two feet and standing again, they forget all the promises, all the covenants. When their baby is ill, and they stand over that baby crying and caressing, But God, please make my baby healthy again. I promise I'll do good. I'll do righteous. And when the baby's well in their next shot, and the baby will start to head, it's not all about the devil. But the devil has just bit the baby. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that you have. See that? The devil said, take away all the stuff you got, not him. Take it all away from him, and what will happen? And he will curse thee to thy face. Now that's the thing. The devil just bit the hook. Himself, the Lord said, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that you have is in your power. You see that? Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. See that? Now the Lord got the devil full attention on one righteous man and give the world a sense evidence of the righteousness again. The importance of Job. Everybody always asks, what is the story and the importance of Job? Remember this? Question? Well, here's the answer. Job's story was a first to trap the devil the way Solomon trapped him in his field. Now, does the devil get trapped? Yes or no? Is the question. Don't get too happy. We go on. So Satan, now watch this. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. He left the heavens and came back to earth again. And there was a day when his son and his daughter were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servant with the edge of the sword, and only I escaped to tell it. Who is this talking? This is the devil talking. He caught Job and said, Job, but the most Almighty gave him power to touch Job's stuff. Right? Said, Job, the Sabaeans, I know who they are, came down and killed the servants and took your flock. And I escaped to let you know about it. He stopped to look at Job's face. He, if Job was cursed the Almighty, like you were doing your bad, did he? Let's see what happened. I said alone. So, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven. Now he's going to blame it on God. And has burnt up the fruit and thy servants and consumed them. And I only can escape alone, because the devil has come again, another devil, right in front of him, one of his helpers. He says, now God did it. The two reasons have changed, first of all. You see what's happening right here? Let's go again. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of a sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. You see it happening? The devils are coming from all sides trying to take Job. Again, 19. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone, to tell thee. Yes, you can be the devil. Then Job arose. Now the devil's happy. He's waiting to see a response to see what Job is going to do here. Then Job arose and went, took rest. His mantle, put his robe on, and saved his head, and fell down upon the ground and whispered. Paul went and made guffaw, and went and made Raka to Allah. They're on the same page. The devil now is totally baffled. But Job did not respond the way he was supposed to. The way you would have. You would have ran to see about the flock and ran to check on your kids and ran in every different direction, yelling and screaming, oh God, what happened? What's that doing? Duking and wailing, lamenting and moaning and complaining. But did Job do that? No, because Job, like the beginning of the chapter said, was what? A perfect man. He was set there instead of trapped for the devil. Let's go on if you have. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, nor did he accuse God good. Now watch how the next chapter begins, too. Again, the devil just got hooked. See that, right? Now here's what happens next time. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to set themselves before the Lord. Sons of God are whom? Who are they, y'all? And now see what happened. And Satan came among them to what? Presenting himself before the Lord. He didn't do that the last time, you know. He just was amongst them before. This time he came for presenting himself, came for with a proclamation of something he wanted to say or do. You see that? And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, upright, pure of the devil, fear God. And still, he holds fast his integrity. Although thou movest, see that? Me against him, to destroy him without cause. See where he told him? So the devil right on the spot. He said, so still held on to his faith. Even though you use me to try to destroy you. And Satan asked the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But now he wants to go further, but he thought it when he stopped those things, it didn't affect him. Now the devil wants the right to touch those physically. But the only thing man has worth anything is his own life. Let me tempt that. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bones and his flesh. And and he shall curse you to thy face. Now that the devil failed in affecting Job by removing all his world, now he's saying, affect Job physically, and I bet you'll curse him. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, his head. Now this chapter will go on, but I want you all to be, the first chapter is a duplicate of the second chapter. And I want you to see that Job had, by way of the Most High, that he says in Isaiah 3:23, why is life given unto man whose way is his and whom God has hedged in? You find that it was a woman, the wife of Job, that let the devil back in. She'll tell him, I'm not talking about the woman, I'm talking about the woman could have been a man. She'll tell Job, turn away from God, curse him, and get all your things that belong to that. At the end of it. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about this day and time. And the messages of Jesus the Messiah to the world, the day and time you're in, how powerful the devil is and what he's doing. Well, the devil has got the world by a grip right now. Christians said nothing about it because they worship him. They call him truth. He just added Jesus. That was not the Messiah's name. You ask a Christian, what was the name of Jesus? They'll say Jesus. And then they'll say that Jesus means the Savior. Right? Therefore, that's not a name. That's a title. When they'll say Christ, you say Christ, Christos, or Messiah, means the anointed. That is also a title, not a name. Emmanuel, meaning God with us, they say, which merely means the strength of the Most High in faith. That is also a title. They don't even know his name. For who said, our Father who art in heaven. Holy is thy name. They don't even know the name of the very man that they claim to worship because they refuse to read the book of Moses, which is what Jesus told them to do in St. John when he said the law came from Moses, but grace and truth came from him. I did not come to save but to fulfill the law of Moses. Not one jot nor one tittle. One letter yet or one dot listen will fall from this scripture until the kingdom of heaven comes. All the things stolen, but in necessity and worthy become antichrist. And the church was Jesus taught, I got to know, to corrupt Paul's book, who hated Jesus. And wrote most of the books in what they call the New Testament. The only book in this Bible of what you call the New Testament that is attributed to Jesus, as I said many times, is the book of Revelation. Every other one is a letter or a gospel according to the person's name here. And most of them never even understood what Jesus was teaching because he said, there are many things I have to say unto you, however you can't bear them. He told them they were not ready. But these people have gone on and made a religion around an incomplete doctrine and called themselves Christians and refused to read the Torah that Jesus read from. That Moses read from, so they'll know what his name is. I'm using Jesus because I want you to ask them what is his real name and what they don't know. They'll say his name is Jesus, but the Bible said him and called him Jesus. Well, when a person enrolls in the police department, his name may be Bill, but when he comes to your door, you say, the police are here. You don't say Bill is here. Because when he got enrolled in the police department, he became known as a policeman. When Jesus got anointed, he became known as a Messiah. When he set out to save the world, he became known as Jesus. What was his name? They don't know. And it's in the book. What Christ was crucified and bring out. 3 bodies. So you go around and ask them, what was his name? Ask them, what is their religion? They'll say Christianity. There's no such religion as Christianity. Because Jesus didn't speak Latin, he didn't speak Greek. He wouldn't even understand the word Christos. Jesus was the Messiah. You read it right in St. John chapter 1, verse 41, and say you believe in that book. It says right in there, and Simon and his first Simon's brother, they say we have found the Messiah who's being interpreted to Christ. St. John chapter 1, verse 41. He was the Messiah. So they think it's going to be called Messiah, he means the Messiah, not Christian. By Jesus said in Matthew 24, many shall come in my name and say they are Christians, or say they are Christ and not.
What is the goal of the angel of death?
The angel of death, who is referred to as Israel in the scripture, was the angel assigned to take the flesh of Adam in the garden and put him in the garden. But he was also the angel that is sent to collect the souls of men on judgment. Now, many people who say they died and reach the other side say they meet a being there who has light, who has his hand stretched forth trying to tell them to come to the other side, and most of them turn around and come back here. That is going on. That being that they meet when you leave this plane, the being that meets you on the next plane is the angel of death. He's not ugly and gross and frightening. He's an angel of light who come to meet you to take you from this state, Nephilim, into the state of Malachut, into the angelic state or the next realm, to prepare you with your own judgment.
Did you say that with everyone?
Every being that has a soul, but there are races of people on earth who have no soul, they have no spirit. When they die, their inner body spirit roam the plane. Plane in what they call ectoplasma or vapor, they become ghosts or whatever you want to call it in too many people.
What's the difference between spirit and soul?
Good question. In the original language, you have the word ruh. Ruh means wind, and that is soul. It has an effect on objects. Wind moves objects. You follow? Whereas nef or nefesh in Hebrew, nef in Arabic, means spirit. Now, the spirit is the light from the heavens. It is the skin. The soul is the emotional body, and it's the light from the earth, which is called hala or your aura. To follow that, every living thing, including rocks, have a spirit. Everything that lives has a spirit. But everything that has emotional changes has a soul. Now there are also those who assimilate emotional changes and they practice it daily in the form of cinema or movies. This is why back in the ancient days, when they speak about the stages and Shakespeare's stages, all that drama did not come out of Africa, didn't come out of India, didn't come out of the outer world, it came out of Europe. These playwrights and emulating life and emulating emotions, which may sound like it's not important, but has developed into movies today of people emulating emotions. You follow? The reason why there's no real good black actor on a scale of white actors is because black people are not good liars. To be a good actor, you have to be a good liar. You follow? And when you watch the average black actor, you know, you watch Sidney Poitier, you say, he's a good actor. But you really can see through it, you see it as an act. You can watch certain white movies, and they convince you to the point where you can become emotional about it. You can almost cry. Well, they are acting like they have emotions.
So no white people have?
They have forfeited their soul. Now, this does not include people all the way down to certain Italians, Jews. Certain of these people are the black seed. They better remember it, though. They don't want to admit that they're black. They have mixed skin. They are part of the north side of them. Not all of them. Some of them. And you don't know who they are, and I'm not going to sit out and pick them out. So they'll let us know when they're ready to come home who they are.
But in terms of when came the curse of sin and the Amorites, the thing that I don't understand is, did they lose their soul in that curse?
Right. What you got to understand is that when Ham was receiving it, Canaan's son's body was inhabited by certain of the 200 fallen angels. The father became possessed, and their soul was pushed from their body. You follow that? From then forth, their children have the jinn living in them, the way you have an angel living in you. And you have to assimilate that angelic being to raise it, and it calls the Holy Spirit when it's in you. Well, in them is the unholy spirit, which Jesus said in the Bible when he said, I know the blasphemy of those who call themselves Jews that are not. They are a synagogue of Satan. You see that? A synagogue is a name for a temple. If I say that a person is a synagogue of Satan, I'm saying their body is a temple where Satan resides. You see that?
So
that's right. Satan and his unholy angels. Like I explained in Genesis, that there'll be a seed for Satan.
So what about like people's shirts, like having more than one inside?
There are more than one. There's reasons. People that are open can be possessed by many different demons. Those who are open a medium. You open your, when you got the Ouija boards and color cards and astrology, you open yourself up. But they embody souls. These are not descending souls. These are residing souls. The difference is a descending soul comes down from the heaven plane, and a residing soul is in embodied souls who have died and will come in and pretend they're scholars, pretend they're mystics, and it's a big joke. And then you get into a person's body and pretend that they're somebody. They're not. They're not spiritual beings at all. A lot of these people call themselves mediums are being possessed by people who died in that vicinity where they set up their little office months ago or years ago. There's different types of ghosts. They have different effects on the physical plane. Some of them are impressions, meaning the instrument upon which they died was so drastic that they stamped themselves in time, and at a certain time of the year they reoccur. There's others that are so wicked and they died in such a frightening way that they're bound to the physical plane, they become demons, ghouls, as we call them. Not only do white people get possessed, black people get possessed too now.
The other question, in terms of self-realization, and the four questions, who am I, what am I, where am I going, and where have I been? What's the next step for that?
First one is, what am I? Tell me what you are.
I don't really know.
Okay, I'll tell you the first one. And then you go from there and study, and then you'll come back again. And the Almighty breathed into man of his spirit, and man became a living soul, but they're dead souls. A living soul.
Then,
okay, that tells you what you are. Now, what's the next question?
I thought it was, what am I? Isn't it who am I?
That's another one. What are you first?
I think that's 31 for answer. Who am I? So whenever I say who am I, and the answer being more or less, that doesn't fit.
That doesn't fit because that's not who you are. That's what they named you on the earth plane, the boundary.
So I haven't found
the answer. That's right. Well, I can tell you what you're doing. It's more fun to you if you're looking up.
I'll just tell you
and I'll look anyway. You're okay. You're a Debarian. See, that's another problem. It means a giant in the earth. A son of God came to the earth. You follow? I'm using that for lack of a better word. In the scripture, when it says the sons of God came down to the earth, they called them Nephilim, one, the wicked ones, and righteous ones they called the Jebarim. 200 angels that fell from grace with Lucifer, or Azazel, was called Nephilim, giants. And they went into woman, they conceived the seed, and they set up a land called Nod. Cain went. That's where he got killed by the man. And on the other hand, 23 elders came down and went into the daughters of Cain. Follow? And they gave birth to what's called as Jebarim. And out of Jebarim's seed, queen of Nod was called Anna. And the people who were bred out of it were called Anakim. Throughout the scripture, you'll find them as giants. The Bible has so many stories and dimensions in my father's house. There are many men, but people are only teaching about one of them. That's enough for that subject to now. Who was this avatar by the name of Three Sai Baba? There's several Sai Baba. Shirdi Sai Baba, and there's such a Sai Baba. Shirdi Sai Baba was a Muslim and a master in India who was trying to bring them away from his Hindu faith. He said he would incarnate again. And another man who called himself such a Sai Baba professes to be that incarnation, but we have proof that he's not. But A, he tells them that the man who was before him, Shirdi Sai Baba, was indeed a Muslim who lived in a mosque, correct? And as a Muslim, you know where in the world could you comply with the Hindu faith. Not with thousands of gods and idols and statues, there's no compromising for that. Any master of the spiritual world knows the invalidity of a statue on earth. Even man, in a physical sense, is almost not important, let alone a statue. So, such a Sai Baba is a self-proclaimed avatar, where Shirdi Sai Baba was a real Ilabuta Jessica. It was the real word of it. Okay? The man you see in India walking around on Tel Aviv, that's not nobody but an impersonator. And if you read enough history, you find about 50 of them in the same thing. Same thing produced Babuti, as they call it. And same thing materialized things. There's whole lots of them there. And that's because the people of the Hindu faith belong to the religion of faith. They have power to do things. Don't underestimate the power of faith. Don't think every time somebody meditates or makes something materialize, you got to be righteous. That's not true. Faith himself was the angel of self-grace.
I want to ask the worst difference between an extraterrestrial being and a terrestrial being.
An extraterrestrial being means a being who has come into this atmosphere and is extra. He's not one calculated in the book of life according to the earth's fair or Nesut. If he comes out of Malakut into Nesut, he is an extra being in this terrestrial environment. You understand?
Yeah. I was reading that an avatar can come in, avatars come in succession. Like one
right.
spirit incarnates into a person who then incarnates into another person.
Correct.
And I was wondering, okay, being that the Holy Ghost, whoever resided in him, must have been there all the time if they enter you from the time of birth.
That's the same to the angel's verbal, the same to Mary. Right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. But now remember that Jesus had to be made after the order of Melchizedek. You understand that?
Uh-huh.
That's his next step higher than the angel's verbal.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. I think I've seen you trying to go.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Okay, when a person is born, that avatar incarnates into him as the person grows and is born.
That's one way he becomes Philomuthi Jessica. It's different ways.
Oh.
He can become Philomuthi Jessica because the spirit enters into the spark when a man, before a man exactly, the spark travels up the spinal cord and goes to the brain, he's the star. He doesn't do it at that point. They can come into a person when they're dying. At the moment a person gets into a car accident, the car crash, they're about to die, another spirit can take that body and that person will survive and be a different deal. Many different ways that spirits get into the body. But it's a certain resistant state that the human body has to be at to make themselves vulnerable to possession.
And then when the spirit incarnates into that person, and that person becomes an avatar?
It depends. So that avatar is a teacher or just an human body spirit. If the spirit becomes into them in some realm as a teacher, then that person will go about teaching. If it's just an human body spirit, anything could happen, from possession to demonic possession to sickness of anything. So the world of Almighty is much more sensitive than just the one thing, an avatar from any other being comes down and takes the body and boom, the person becomes a teacher. More so than that.
So then what do they mean by avatars come to possession?
Who's they?
I'm not there.
Because the word avatar is not as important as people like to make it. And the word avatar, or like I said, elementary justice, is no more than the awakening of a supreme being in an individual. He realizes that he is one with the Creator at that time. You follow that? That's nowhere near as important as Mikhail or Michael or David. Incarnate a conscious spirit who have been teaching for centuries, as you know, which is a much higher position. A person can be a man, become an avatar, develop into an angelic being by being scared or healed by an angelic being. But if you have an avatar in him, if you have a spirit, a divine spirit in him, then it's easier for him to be taught by an angelic being than he would if he didn't have it. He becomes a more accessible medium than if he's just a person who gets premonition. Whereas Jesus was a person who didn't get premonition, the spirit was in him. So to understand divine powers from the Father through him is quite simple. Whereas other people, they would get flashes of divinity. Muhammad's person would receive these spiritual impressions called worship. You see?
Oh, yeah.
This is a short course to remind you that these are old classics of Dr. Malachi Rio, then known as Al-Mahdi, Al-Mahdi, Al-Mahdi. It's in one of the tools on our way up. Only you are.
I have a small question. Is it possible for more than one avatar to enter into the same being?
Well, when I speak to people from a certain year, as well know, different voices come from me. Sometimes different actions come from me. Because I am a being that has allowed myself to be utilized by being much older. I don't want to say centuries, but not enough. So you can get answers. Of things that you've never had answered before. Okay? So I'm a being that allows myself to be utilized by other beings. And I have the power to control which being so they can't take my body. Other people who become mediums, who allow themselves to be a vessel from which spiritual beings from other realms sometimes make them a spiritual person and nothing can possess and will make them kill themselves. So the answer to your question is this.
I was reading the book of Job, chapter 3, verse 32, and I just want to ask this question about it. This is where a lot of people ask Job, can't thou bring forth Nazareth in this season, or can't thou guide our children with his son? I'd like to know if it's possible who they are.
Turn to the book of Amos, 5:8. All right?
Book of Amos.
5:8, and you have the answer.
I'd like to know also, if possible, if you can tell me who the ancient, why is Melchizedek not going to come to the last four ancient days?
Well, he has neither beginning of days nor end of days.
That's the last
one.
What I don't understand is if God or Allah, when he created the world, if it was a good before Adam and Eve sinned, how did a bad angel come about?
In the foundation of creation, what we refer to as good and evil came out of willpower, not out of acts of good and evil, but the right to make decisions and self-determination. When the Almighty, supreme, not supreme beings, supreme beings are people, supreme, when the supreme creator of the universe, created a being and gave him willpower, self-determination, that he may be, as the Quran says, Khalifa fil Ard, the successor in the earth. Man's self-determination bred evil. The right to say no, the right to make our own decisions. When in the Quran, when it's speaking about Malak, the angels of Allah Ta'ala, we're speaking about beings that say, Subhanahu, glory be to you, we have no power of our own. You saw that? They have no knowledge except what you taught us. Nothing they can do with their own willpower. But this new being, this new mortal being, man, was going to be endowed with self-determination, willpower, so that he can be a governor, like the scripture said, someone who would teach the God, kill this, and do this, and do this, and do this. So he had to have self-determination. He had to be able to make decisions. And in making decisions, one of the decisions he made was to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it, why in your Bible Allah Ta'ala had to come back and say, didn't I tell you not to do such and such? We have God-like qualities in us. We have the presence of the Almighty in us. A little different, but on the same track what the brother was saying when he says Allah does not come down in a man. I don't think he means it to the fullest. Allah does come down in a man insofar as Allah is inside every man. Because he said he breathed his spirit into every being, and beings became living souls. So if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad per se says that Allah came in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad, there's no argument with Allah coming in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad, just like the Christians say that the Holy Ghost in the book of St. John lighted on Jesus, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and it abided with him. That's the same thing as Allah came into the person of Jesus Christ. And when they say the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a cave and the angel appeared to him in the form of light and embraced him, then we have Islam alayhi wa sallam that is set to expand it so that the spirit can move into Muhammad. And then it says, we gave you light, we gave you this. Muhammad was filled with the Holy Ghost, and so can you be filled with the Holy Ghost. But being filled with the Holy Ghost means to give yourself fully over to the command of the Almighty, which Jesus therefore interprets as people who believe on his name and became known as sons of God. Those are people who no longer live by the flesh, nor by blood, nor by the will of man, but by the will of the Father. Those become known as supreme beings on earth, as opposed to mortal beings. So man's willpower is what breaks evil. Man's desire to take the fire and not use it to warm himself or to light the candle to educate himself, but to burn something. That's our own decision. The fire is not evil. It's what we do with the fire that determines whether the fire becomes good or evil. We can cook food with it, or we can burn our house down with it. Depends on the character. So it's man's mortal instinct and his self-preservation law that is ready to eat. And so amongst the angelic beings, when they say angelic beings, they're talking about intellect.
Okay, so in all general, man is just fighting against himself.
Man is fighting his own. See, man is a sinner. Every man is a sinner. And this city is composed of three different beings.
Can you tell me, what are you speaking of, the Bible?
I'm sorry,
are you speaking of words of the Bible, or are you speaking of words of the Quran?
There's no difference in the Bible and the Quran. They're all coming from the same creator, whose religion is love.
I understand that, and I agree with that, but I thought that in the Quran, it teaches you to...
It's
just God.
It's the Bible.
The Christian use of sinners.
There is no such thing as sinners, first of all. Let's establish that. There's no such thing as sinners. There are people who are calling themselves something that Jesus never heard of. There's no such thing as sinners. In the Holy Quran, Muslims have translated the Quran and they've added the word Christian, and that's not even in the Quran. The word in the Quran is nothing, which is the same word in the Bible for Nazarite. The people that Jesus was talking about in the book of St. John, when he said, I came to my own, right? But my own received me not. But as many as do receive me, I give them power to become the sons of God. He's not talking about the whole world. He's talking about the children of Judah who resided in the city of Nazareth. But that's where most of his fathers came from. Most of his fathers came out of Galilee, which is next to Nazareth. You follow that? And that word Nazareth in the Quran is nursery, meaning aided or helpless. But the point is, there is no such thing as Christian. If you walk up to a Christian and ask a Christian what is his religion, he can't tell you. If you walk up to a Jew and ask a Jew what is his religion, he can't tell you what his religion is. Christianity is not a name of religion. Christianity came from the word logos, from the Greek word, where they got Christos, meaning spirit. And they took and said the spirit and put the spirit on it and became known as Christianity. If you turn Christianity backwards, you'll see the word is really anti-Christ, Christianity. So this is something fabricated by people that oppose the teachings of Jesus, the Messiah, which they say in the Bible in 40, that Simon found Jesus, him and his brother found Jesus, who was identified as a Messiah and called it the Messiah. If all these things were taking place when they started transforming the teaching that Jesus had, which is the teachings of Israel, which if you walk up to a Jew and you ask them the same question, what is their religion? They can't tell you. What is the name? They say Judaism. Judaism is not a name of religion. What is their religion? Their religion was Islam. How do you know? Because Jesus said, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, right in the Bible, right? And also, he said, as many as believe on my name, they shall be called the children of God. So therefore, those people that believe on his name who are called children of God are also called the peacemakers. If you say peace in Arabic, you get the word Islam. If you say peace in Hebrew, you get the word shalom. Shalom and salam is the same word. So when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Jesus was saying, in his language, blessed are the Muslims. The word Muslim from Islam, mu, one is of salam. The state that every prophet came to teach people they should be in, a state of peace and love and harmony. So Jesus was indeed a Muslim by religion. If you ask the Christians, what is their religion? They say, our religion is Jesus. Our religion is Christianity, Christism. If you ask the Jew, what is their religion? Our religion is Judaism. Ask the Muslim, what is his religion? And he says, Islam. And I acknowledge Jesus, Moses, Muhammad, and Abraham, the father of us all.
You have been listening to a live question and answer session with the most outstanding teacher of this day and time, Dr. Malachi Z. York, on live TV. Also available in this case series, are you a seraphim or a terrorist? The signs of the end of the world. Who is Melchizedek? The mother ship. Who and what are you? The fallen Satan. Did we lose the covenant? 200 fallen angels. What are human beings? Catholic society and many others. Look for these tapes at the local Holy Tabernacle Ministry bookstore or write to the Holy Tabernacle Ministry, Post Office Box 4490, Eastern Georgia, 31024.
Which Jesus do you worship? Who and what are you? Remember these classic two lightning speeches?
And now, listen to the Supreme Grand Master, Naya Malachi Zobuk L.
Now starting to talk about the conditions that's taking place. The death of Tupac is a symbol death. You follow? You're starting to realize some of you people are taking this business a little too soon. The whole hip hop thing is a business. We're making money. We're playing games. We're not real games. You want me to real games? Those niggas ain't no real games. I don't got to think they're real games out there. So now we're in our hands of a couple of kids, a couple of fathers, a couple of sons, a couple of brothers have lost their lives. And it's gotten quiet. But there's an awareness amongst all of them. This new doctrine is able to get these kids to stop killing each other. Because when we meet here on Savior's Day, if you're here for 4 days, you're going to see all of who's here. Groups that would normally be rivaling against each other. They would hate each other. For no reason other than they wear a different color head rag, I think they say. Or one does this. Which is not my reptilian symbol. And the other's doing this. I don't know what they're doing. I didn't see that movie. But they'll all be here on Savior's Day together. As a family. So somebody said, see them Milwaukee over there? Yeah. They don't drink. Wait, I have to take that back. We do drink. We do water, milk, soda, wine, beer, but we don't be drunk. Correct? We don't smoke any kind of drugs. Any kind of drugs. You understand that? We're not polygamists. We're not Muslims, we don't have hundreds of wives. If you still have hundreds of wives and the next hand's off, you gotta cut it out. We're not having it anymore. And I say, if men can have more than one wife, then women can have more than one husband. No more. You saying? No more women walking behind men, shut up and you shut up. When the man says shut up, say why and then prepare to go. But stand up. It's time to stand up. This is what we need. Now, what's starting to happen is we appeal to the younger generation for some reason. The following day, we open our doors by opening my mind and heart to reach out to the 5% and say, let me take your book that you have been sitting on since 1960-something and doing nothing with, and the kids are only going for little bits of rhetoric. But they don't have a full understanding of what's in those so-called 120 or plus of you. So, being you can't afford to do it, or just don't want to do it, let me put the book in one cover so every 5% or God, they got 8 sets now. Every one of them have a copy of it. So maybe they can see that we're not that different than they are. But as long as they got a couple of fanatical leaders who want to control their congregation. This is my biggest problem. Control of the congregation. They're afraid that their followers might come to me. If I wanted their followers to come over to me and not be 5%, I wouldn't put up a 5% flag. I'm saying, if you're 5%, that's too believing you should still be a part of the Milwaukee and Pennsylvania. We ain't interested. We're not getting caught up on the religious practice.
Okay.
But nobody can confirm religion. Nobody. You cannot prove to me that there's a God. You can go with a whole bunch of philosophical bull crap. If I said, prove me, oh, I know there's a God because he created me. That's it. Evolution beats the hell out of that. Quantum physics beat the hell out of evolution and instant creation. And I'm telling you something, they can't do it. And that's the problem. Because they can't do it, there's an emotional trap. The moment I can't verify or justify what I believe in, they can't want to do it differently. I regress back to an elephant, or a gorilla, or a bull. You know what I'm saying? That's why we went out there with so many questions at people. But I did not go out there with questions before I did 25 years of questioning. I did 25 years of standing up in front of people in New York City, open the doors and said, come in and ask me anything you want to prove what I'm saying wrong. If you do, I say, I'll follow you. All I want to do is change the position because I see the baby. I'm saying, I'm all day record with feet. Change the world without a seat. Now put that record because you can tell that that's a very heavy message. That's all I was concerned. So I did that for 5%. You with me? The subtotal comes down to most people don't know what they're talking about. The first criteria for dealing with a Muslim is do you speak Arabic? If not, then stop using Arabic. If you don't speak the language of the Quran, then give it up. The problem then, that doesn't mean you understand it, because I know many Muslims who speak Arabic that don't understand the Quran. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many Muslims back. If they all understood it just by verse reciting it from Arabic, they all would have the same belief. There wouldn't be so many Sunni, Shia, Ahmadiyya, Baha'i, and on and on and on. So we, as a people, are vulnerable because we're like a baby mind. And because we're riding off of, I've been abused. That's what we use, I've been abused, the white man abused me. So we're looking for any way to get even, like Gaddafi. So we like to join anything like a channel off. Black power. And hope that Adam White will go. That's my fault. I mean, they're not as involved in the black power thing as you are.
Keep on saying, they don't care about
you on black power. Black. Why on? That is white people like this. What's the big deal? But let's see what you're doing.
Right.
If you feel that the system is failing you, what do you do? Are you setting up a school system? Columbus did not discover America. You can't discover something somebody's already on. Plus, he didn't come to America, he wasn't finished. You know what I'm saying? When he got here, with all that. We were already here for all that. Mao Zedong, long before, more. All right? So I'm not teaching that to my son. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to teach my son your life. You need those that make you feel good. I understand that. You're supposed to make yourself feel good to your kids. But because you went over to Africa and stole a large amount of the boys here, if I'm saying, you have an obligation to teach us about us,
right.
If you say we're free. If I'm not free, then you don't have to, then you continue to teach me that George Washington was the first president when that's just not a fact.
Come on.
There were 16 presidents before George, and 9 of them were black.
Right.
The man who took George Washington from office name is John Hanson. Look it up. And it'll tell you right in your dictionary, John Hanson, a black president. A more.
Now,
give me
the name,
bro. Huh?
Give me the
female
president.
I'll give you. I'm writing a book on it.
Oh,
I am. Okay. But it's not mystical. You can go to any computer and bring up John Hanson, and he'll tell you one of 9 black presidents. And he'll give you Native Americans. And he'll also give you Frenchmen who came over here and married Washita women, a black tribe. And had children, and those children were governed. Mm. There's a woman right now, right now, fill it up. Recognized by the President of the United States as the emperor. Recognized as the real owner by deed of the land from Louisiana to Canada.
Hey,
recognize right now. They ain't telling about her.
They killed her husband. They killed her father. They killed all her children. But she worked her way up, right, and went and got the and retrieved the record. Went all the way to France and traced the record down the deed and then traced her descendants 5 generations back. And proven, and the government, the President of the United States, has issued her the right to be a separate country in this country right now. She has her own license plate, her own driver's license. They don't have to pay any tax. And it's not exclusively for blacks. Don't start flagging, don't start all over the nation. For anybody who is willing to join in that land. And it's going on right now. Sheikh Daoud, a Moroccan, a Moor, who I study under, correct? Yes,
also got the same right to the Emancipation Proclamation to claim all those who followed him in his thing called the Islamic Mission of America, right out of car years ago, as Moors, but not subject to biblical law, because George Washington, in a letter, the Sultan of Morocco said, I know there are some Moors that have mixed in with the slaves. And all of them that want to claim sovereignty is free and sovereign, not as slaves. You understand that?
Yes.
You have in America about a 14% slave. The rest are not slaves. The rest of you have been trying to find out why your hair is not all together natural, and why your nose is a little too long, and your eyes might be a little too slanted, not nothing to do with melanin color. Wondering why you don't look like anybody you've ever seen in any of the parts of Africa is simply because you're not an African, you're an indigenous person from one of the Native American tribes here. You follow what I'm saying? You belong to the Shoshone, or the Iroquois, the Washita, the Tunis, the original Cherokee, the Trail of Tears, you were on. 75% of the Trail of Tears, you. This is a fact. This is documented. And believe me, you know if I tell you about it, I'm going to put it in a book. I'm going to tell you about it. You understand what I'm saying? So when you're wondering why you don't feel so African, it's because you're not an African. Remember, the word Africa is an insult.
Yeah.
Our land extended all the way from California down to Chile, all the way over to the Persian Gulf. Nod was on the other side of the Persian Gulf, the land of Nod, where the so-called character in the Bible came. Was afraid to go outside of our land, the land of Moors. And told his father, I'm afraid in your Bible, one day those who find me out there are going to kill me, even in your Bible, in Genesis. If Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel were the only 4 people on the planet 4,004 years ago by Jehovah's Witnesses, 6,000 years ago by Muslims, if they were the only people on the planet and Cain killed Abel, leaving Adam, Eve, and then who was Cain telling his father he was afraid was going to kill him when he got to the land of Nod? Who was he talking about? There was nobody on the planet. No, the whole world to us was that land. North America was called Atlantis. South America was called Mexico. And Africa was called Sudan, where they get the word Aswan. The illusion which causes confusion is to tell people that they're not black, don't use the title black. When in actuality, when you translate the word more or else, you get the word black. When you translate the word push, you get the word black. When you translate even the word Ethiopia from Egyptos, you get burnt face. And Egypt. When you take the word Ham and translate Ham, you get the word black. Midian, who moved into Egypt, a descendant from Noah, from Ham, black. But in the records that were kept in Latin, we have another word for black. Negative. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 of your Bible has the word nigger. Acts 13:1. Write it down. Don't believe me. Nigger. It says nigger, and it means black. 13:1. You got a Bible open to read it. In ancient Latin language, where all the history was being recorded, nigger was identified with the color. Morenos was identified, Morenos was the state. They had to stop calling you more Morenos because they identified with that state that God was in before life. But the word Meta only dealt with the color of this bush of feathers and did not deal with the supreme balance. So as you trace your story, in his story, you will find the word more in Maurice. Saint Maurice. You ever heard of Saint Maurice? A Moor. Who refused to murder Germans. So the Irish declared him a saint and he wasn't a Catholic. Constitution of the country. You know what wrote it? A Iroquois. Because the Iroquois gave the Constitution to whom? Thomas Paine. Who then rewrote it. And then they took it and changed it. And took from 13 to 20 out and threw away. And then added 20 little but never had it signed. And if you go sneak out from 13 to 20 of the Constitution, what you can find, the one that was signed, you find out it says, no more can be held slave. No more. And then it says, who are more? The indigenous people of this land. Dark people, they say, the woman. They took it out and by the high, but Philadelphia kept it on record. Say, this is why they got to come up with a tale about those guys are involved in this stuff. There's this cult thing with this, and he tells us about extraterrestrials coming. We better go out there and try to stop that. They're not interested in my belief in extraterrestrials. They believe more than I do in extraterrestrials. I don't spend $20 million making an independent day. Give me $20 million. Give me $20 million if I make a movie about blowing up the White House. They just go to the person. Go to the person who made the movie Independence Day and ask them, why do you want to blow up the White House? Because whoever conceived the thought, the story, conceived the thought. They should be saying this fool, why would you make a movie? Don't we have enough problems with dumb arrows already without you putting more thoughts in the air to make it look possible and show them how to do it? And if you get into our computers, and you can reverse our computers and use them against us, then everybody knows what hack is off. So they should be taking the man who wrote the movie and sit down with him, the psychiatrist, and say, why do you want to blow up the White House? Well, it's only a movie. Start again. Why do you want to kill the president? I'm saying, well, don't know. Until we start yucking about that. Anybody who spends millions of dollars making a movie about nothing, excepting if there's not a market for it yet. And they don't know if there was going to be a good market. It happened to be a good market. But they didn't know that when they invested in it. So they believe more in UFOs than I do. And mid is right behind, coming right behind, thank you. Men in Black. Which is supposed to be left over from Hitler's Secret Service group. There was a group called Men in Black, Hitler's Secret Service group from Anarch. When America went over there and got beat up, people don't know this. It's a long story. You understand me? I'm not, yes, I'm saying, when I say you understand me, I'm just Jamaican. You understand why they don't like me? They don't like me because telling y'all where to go find facts. Now, when you get a certain amount of consciousness, you don't need racism no more. You don't have to look at people and say, I don't like you because they're lighter than me. You can see that the Most High God, Allah, didn't sense that to happen. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made that borderline so thin between us. I'm not saying you should all go out married. But if Caucasian people marry Black people on a large scale, that is the end of their race. That's not racism. That's fact. I'm not supporting the KKK concept of separating by history. That's what I mean. I mean if we are to stay as beautiful of a garden as we are, with regard to all kinds of flowers, then we better stop this cross breed. Because if you keep cross breeding, the only people going to be left on the planet is us. Because we were there before like that. Even if you say we're Muslims, we still were here before we got here. I don't know. You say we're monkeys now. We're monkeys, but we're here. Monkey there. And it's important that you don't destroy faithful people. Because every living thing is a part of the chain of life. We all play a part in it. And as species die, the ecology changes. And man is Gaia. Gaia, Mother Nature, is angry with us. Very angry. Floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes. Mother Nature, or God, or whatever you want to say, is angry with humanity for the stupid things we do to each other and her. You follow that? Our lack of communication with her. Our refusal to link ourselves back in as a part of the soil and the spirit. Mother Nature is mad. And food is going bad. And people's minds are going bad. We're in a bad state today. So of course, they don't mean what happens every 25,000 years one of us is born. The Hindus call us avatars. The word Ama means that you're a priest of rock, a sun person, coming in of the sun cycle for the tablet. Amunubi Ru'akatah, which they say as Amunubi Ru'akatah. We are born to rectify, to re-enlighten you. The alignment comes when we come. The planet shifts when we come. They know that we're here. Oh, that's the balance. Evil and good is balance. You cannot have a world of all good. Because it will conceive evil in another form. Evil will become anyone that disagrees or uncooperative. You follow that? Defect would be evil. Maim would be evil. Blindness would be evil. If all was supposed to be good. But it's not supposed to be bad. And religion teaches everything got to be. And it creates an imbalance in the universe. And it's the root of all the hate and racism and war and separation and destroying everything. And when that happens, it is time for your history to be renewed. It is time for you to become aware of the divine in you. You follow? An awakening takes place that you are one of God. That Ra sent Osiris to this planet and his wife Isis to this planet, and they lived there amongst the nature or amongst nature in harmony. And then he sent Seth. And Seth was Osiris' brother. And Seth was jealous of Osiris and Isis and wanted Isis or Useth for himself. So he put on a big banquet at the party of Osiris or Useth. And he made a beautiful sarcophagus made to fit the size of Osiris only. And he had his men, his warriors, which they call fallen angels, came with him. Get and said, "Pop the sarcophagus, I want to see if it fits my loving brother." You follow? And he put him in the sarcophagus and he sealed it. And he took him out, selling him to 14. These are not true stories. These are metaphors. These are folk tales of actual instance. See, when you go back to forest and you say, well, where did Ra come from? You'll say, from the primordial egg, the black egg. The black egg is represented by the black god. The black god is represented by the soul. They say three principles to soul in ancient, the ka, the ba, and the ah. And those three principles are the principles of the universe, person, places, and things. The only time person, place, and things cross is when a divine principle steps in. And when human beings, who, men, rock, the God, who, the creative force of will, the God men in ancient Egypt, always comes back as rock. And when, who, men, becomes conscious of the God, then the principle of persons, places, and things are broken by the principle now and then. When then becomes now, and then becomes now. When a people or a being completes his growth or his evolution from what he is supposed to be to what he is, then he is reached the point of now. You know what I mean? If he looks at his past and everything that brought him to now, he will look over his left shoulder and see it as then. If he intends to perfect the dot now, then from here on there'll be no more changes. Acquisition, inquisitiveness are gone. I now know. So the next thing is always going to be the same as right now. I don't want to sound stupid here. As I come to life and I hear the Jehovah's Witness. That was back then. And they talk to me about God and Jesus Christ and the Jehovah's Witness Bible. I'm very interested. And I sit down with some Jehovah's Witness. They come in my house and I'm convinced this is the truth. The problem? Right now, I'm convinced. However, if I walk a little further and I run into a Seventh-day Adventist, and they say, well, the Jehovah's Witness got a lot of truth. However, no. They forget about the Shabbat, and they don't need pork, and so. And I'm going to show you the Bible, and they don't need pork, and keep the Shabbat, and so. What was then important to me is no longer important to me now. I now have a new now. Do we ever reach the end of now? No. Wrong. We do reach the end of now. When now, then, and then stops. Because there are no more Jehovah's Witnesses or Seventh Day Adventists or Blackness or whatever to change my life. I now know. And you can never change me. I'm not going to be converted to nothing else. I now know. I don't want to call it television. I'm going to call it a kind of awareness because I did the research. I wasn't indoctrinated. I was brainwashed. But brainwashed is one of those games or play on words, to make you think that it's wrong to be brainwashed. But if I was a smoker and a drinker and a druggie and I had all in my brain, I wish you would wash my brain so I could get a cleaner brain. This is where evil is made look good and good is made look evil when you take words and took them and say, you are brainwashed. Because if I wash this shirt, you get clean. If I wash my brain, all that garbage you taught me is gone in it. And once I'm in the state of now, because I have done my own research, and I have confirmed everything, and I know there's nothing coming. In other words, I have found myself. I'm comfortable with what I am. My biggest fear and problem is how much I intimidate others because I am scared to be so content with what I am. They seem to be bothered. They say, well, I'm a Nawapi. Yes. The person that believes in sound, right, reason. What do you mean by that? We believe that you shouldn't believe. You should investigate. You believe that you must believe to get through the other day. You follow that? We don't believe anything. Call me an atheist. Call me a black devil. Call me a Satanist. Call me all the things you need to keep you happy. But if you say atheist, I'm going to say A-T-O-S. I'm going to say A in Greek again, Theos, a Greek deity. I'm not Greek, I'm not an atheist. Satanist, Satan, Satan, Hebrew word Satan, what does it mean? Serpent person. I'm not a serpent person. You know those people?
So now we're lecturing on living souls.
before we go any further about who saved you, why you came, who found you, forces, and methods. Tell me about what is your knowledge of living souls. First of all, you need Hebrew, of course, because living soul is in Hebrew. So you have to get a Hebrew reference. I can't use it in English. King James, he was, you know, King James was in Hebrew. So I mean, you can tell me what living soul means, but that's what God says I am. And if you can't, could you get a reference up there for him?
No.
Then I'm ready to miss on opportunity. They're going to be done. So, the almighty, the all-powerful being in the universe, of which you are a part of, and all religions admit you, says that all of you must know. And that the only way that we can stop the ignorance is that all of you must start asking questions. And you are going to be persecuted for righteousness.
Yeah, right.
They're going to revile you and say all manners of evil against you falsely. Not for my name, but for the Heavenly Father's name.
Always.
You understand me? But we have to stop going into bed. We've got to establish now. This is what we are. And that can only be done by the retrieval of facts. By going out and using facts. Don't tell me I am an African. Or just a Native American. Which tribe of Native American? And where did they come from? You mean don't just give me the package. Give me the meat in the package. And if you can't, keep the package because you're only confused anymore. And or give me the direction for which I can search the facts. That's all. And that's the day and time you're in. And because I've done my best, my advisor, the Bible, let me translate it for you from Greek. Quran, let me translate it for you from Arabic. Torah, let me give it to you from the written people. Now make sure you got one where I translated. I put the word next to it, so if you don't believe me, you can go to a song, go into a dictionary, and see if that's the same word. You give it to me. Just to see that, yeah, I'm not lying. But it gives you another working when you're dealing with people, and they say, well, in the Bible, you say, which Bible? King James, I'm not interested in King James, but he doesn't even give me a chance. He doesn't even have a comparison, and I can check the words out. If I can investigate what he said, I'm stuck with what he said. I don't need that. I try to cover every subject, and this is why they can grab one of the subjects that I kept covering, extraterrestrials in our midst, and try to arrive at the and say, you see, he teaches about extraterrestrials, so it must be affiliated with some suicide cult in California. Make it easy. When you only give one type of knowledge, they have to pinpoint. But when you're a person like me, you try to cover everything, there's so many ways they can play that game.
Good evening.
now coming to you from the Egyptian Church of Christ Incorporated. This program is for one group of people and one group only, the children of God. You no longer have to wander or wander off the straight path. For those who want to make a difference, for those that want to know the truth, so many unanswered questions, and for those who are tired of the devil taking control over everything in their lives and the lives of their children, this program is set up for those who want to bring God's kingdom first. According to the scriptures, Matthew 6:32, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness should be added to you. Therefore, we must take back control of our lives. We, as the Egyptian Church of Kadesh Christ Incorporated, are reaching out to embrace all the children of God. As it states in Psalms 8:2, I have said, you are God, and all of you are the children of God. Next, we will be listening to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Malachi of New York, and questions and answers.
Three days it takes to get on the way past the bits of teeth. Is it a physical action that some of the roots bits of teeth is wrong with one of the other things and then gets it to root? Any referring to the same question?
Brother, I know what you're trying to say. The truth is that the average person in here doesn't have seven problems. But let's say there are five men that control the Bilderberg Society. Bilderberg Society, five men rule the world. A Ram Corporation, each one of them have a clone. Each one of them had that clone to do copies of themselves for body parts. They have special doctors that are responsible for keeping them together. Let's say he has face cancer. If you notice, at one point, his whole face was swelling up and eating away. If anybody knows something about terminal cancer, they would not be able to just pull it away and patch him up like that. It doesn't work like that. Once it starts to eat the cells away, that's it. You have a very limited amount of time and it becomes that apparent. Now if you look at it, all of a sudden, this whole big mass is gone. Had this big group on his nose of cancer. And all of a sudden, you know, he disappears for a little while, goes away, goes in the jaw, comes back to, and it's not there. He no longer has a nose problem. So they have ways now, what they're doing is they have cell tips they work with. And they have a problem with making it public in America because they have to go into the fetus and take cells in the fetus that can rebuild cells. What I'm saying now sounds crazy, but if you go to the computer, you can investigate cell tips, they call it, and it rebuilds cells. So if you have, let's say, MS, some kind of brain damage, now they have the means by which they can take out of a baby's fetus cells, inject them into your brain cells, it'll cling on, and begin to reproduce fresh blood cells, actually regrow cells. But the conflict is, every time they do that, they have to eliminate a baby. They have to kill a baby. So now they're trying to take control of Africa and other countries where they don't mind eliminating babies in order to sustain their life. Ugly is a sad truth, but it's the truth. So like say the Anunnaki and beings of that caliber had clones. The ancient Egyptians had clones. The so-called pharaohs had clones made themselves. So in the event they're doing their life, they suffered from some type of terminal disease, the alchemists would immediately replace that. There was no fear of rejection because they replace it in, you know, 6 to 8 weeks determines whether or not your blood is going rejected, and there's no fear of that. And that's what it means when they say today, they're talking about those physicians, and in the same, let's say in the time of Zuzah, the physicians would be under Ayamhotep, that was his high priest, and believed in the time of Tutankhamun, he would be Ay, the high priest would be Ay. He had a bunch of men under him, which were called the royal guard of Amun-Ra, and they were high priests, and they would sometimes see them depicted in artwork with an Islam on, simple white robe, all hair, no hair, they shave all of the body, anything was bacteria attractive, they didn't have any more pure white robes all the time. They always show them in any book you read on Egyptian, they show you these men, they call them wabs, or priests in ancient Egypt. Well, these men knew the science, they were like scientists. They knew about embalming, they knew about cloning, they knew about alchemy, altering molecules. They just were learning. They got their knowledge from beings who came from beyond the stars here, which sounds crazy in America until when we speak of beings coming from beyond the stars, it sounds like it's crazy until you talk to a Christian in America and you say, where did Jesus come from? And they go, huh? Say, well, where did Jesus come from? According to the Bible, Jesus said, I am from above, you are from beneath. Jesus said, I come down from the Father. As long as you're talking UFOs and you keep it in that terminology of UFOs, it sounds crazy. But when you turn it around, you're going to say, let's get for real, where did Jesus come from? And they'll say, before he came to earth, he had to have been someplace. If you say he came, they'll say, well, Jesus came from heaven. The next question is, where is heaven? The definition of heaven, of course, heaven is up there. Up there where? Up there somewhere. Okay, good. You don't know exactly where he came, but you do know he came from up there. Then you are admitting that he came to this earth from some other place where he lived. Did he have a seat beside his father there? They'll say, well, according to the Bible, of course, Jesus sat on the right side of his father while up there. So his seat's there. Was there angels there, the heavenly hosts? According to the Bible, there were heavenly hosts there. And the heavenly hosts, were they new or did they wear robes? So when Jesus appears in visions or when the Blessed Mother Mary appears in visions, they're always garbed in white robes, etc. So they have robes there. Yes, when you read the holy books, it speaks about paradise and the fruits of paradise and the pure water of paradise and the gifts that we're going to get when we get to heaven, which are very similar to the things we already have here on earth, but they're supposed to be tongueless. But slowly but surely, we're being confronted with the reality that there's a place somewhere there where they go, a specific place. And in that place, there's seats and people talk. Because, in fact, in Genesis chapter 3, God is walking in the garden talking. Well, either God was talking to himself when Adam and Eve heard them, but it says they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So he was actually moving about. So what was he doing? Talking to somebody, a group of people, because they heard him. But you wouldn't hear him if there was no concrete, he didn't have no lips on his shoes. You wouldn't hear him and walking around the sandals on sand. You won't hear nobody walking on sand in the cool of the day. So they must be having a conversation. Who was God talking to? Other beings that are on his equal or beneath him or above him. They have to be in one of those places. They have to be either higher than him, equal to him, or beneath him. But whatever it is, there's other people there. And if there's a seat on the right side, the only reason why you would mention having a seat on the right side is because there must be a seat on the left side. So if Jesus is sitting on the right side because he's good, then on the left side it's Satan. But Satan can't be there no more because Revelation 12 says Satan was thrown out of heaven and can't come back no more. So there's an empty seat on the left side. But as you add these ridiculous little things together that sound like mumbo jumbo, they come down to a reality that there is a place where Jesus came from. And there's a place that Jesus wants us to go to. And he says, where I am, you may be also. But the point is, if he says that where I am, you may be also, if we go and look at that literally, he's saying, I am somewhere, and you're over there. And I want you here. And to find out where that is, we simply go to the Lord's Prayer. Where is that here? Well, Jesus said, I want you to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. So now he's separating himself from earth beings and saying there is a heaven and our Father is there. If all we have to do that, if we take it from the religious and just blindly go by faith and say, well, you know, I'm not going to address these final points, then we're not worthy to be here. Simply because it says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So we're supposed to know these things. Otherwise, God would have never put them in the Bible. He didn't want us to find him. He would never give us the intelligence to find him. He wouldn't give the heathen the intelligence to rage. Because God controls all the intellect in the boundless universe. So if someone speaks against God, God allowed him to do it for a specific reason. He wants that question raised. He wants that doubt in Thomas to exist. Because by doubt in Thomas, he can confirm the truth. If there's no doubt in Thomas, how do I get to the truth if I don't have somebody saying, well, I know God personally. And then some guy in the congregation says, you don't know God. God already wrote for those situations. The cuckoo says, I know God personally. And the guy that says, you don't know God. He says, yes, I know God. Well, where is God? Oh, God's in heaven. He talks to my heart. Okay, now the situation changed. God talks to your heart. God talks to everybody. I thought you meant that you knew him personally, like I know this guy, and he talks to me like me and him sitting in the bar having a beer. That's the big difference. It's left like that. So when he's making reference to faith, he's speaking of a place where beings are. And those beings walk and talk with God. And they're called the heavenly hosts. In fact, one man in the Bible called Enoch was so good that God didn't even let him die. It says in the Bible, God translated him and took him to himself and took him to himself. And Enoch didn't even die a mortal death. So now, Enoch in the Bible then he died a mortal death, then he was still in the physical form. And if God took him and translated him out of this planet somewhere, he went there in what? A physical form. If Elijah in the Bible, teacher of Gilead, took a chariot to the heavens physically, they saw him go up into the sky physically, then what? There must be some place up there where people meet physically. And Jesus ascended before the disciples physically, and they watched him, as they say in the Bible, go through the clouds. Correct? That's what it says in the Bible. You can change the Bible to make it suit your religious belief, but if you want to say literally, it says Jesus went up through the clouds, and the disciples watched him disappear in the clouds. He was in physical form. This was not from the cross, what they call it, when he saw the spirit of Elijah, and he saw the spirit of Moses. And he had that transfiguration, as they call it. To transform one figure to another. They said he was illuminated, but he was still physical. Because in order for you to be illuminated, you must have some physical. You can't light a light bulb without a filament. You need that filament inside there to get the light. Now, when the light comes out the bulb, it appears to be something intangible. But if you trace the light back, it cuts back to that bulb, cuts back to that filament, cuts back to those wires, cuts into that force, cuts into that electricity, which is this one. So there are beings there. We have got to come into that reality that there are beings with God. Whether we want to call them angels or by whatever term that makes us feel good, if you want to call them extraterrestrials, if you like the color green, you call them little green men.
Ghirardelli Caramel Squares makes life a bite better.
You are now listening to The True Light with Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi in a live question and answer session.
In the scriptures, it's clear that it says...
Which scripture?
The King James Bible, the King's Version.
Okay.
And there it's clear that it's Arabic language and Hebrew language. I'd like to know which one of those languages, came first, and how can I see this and prove this? The scriptures.
Neither one of those languages came first.
Neither one of them,
because Arabic and Hebrew are the same language. They are dialects of the same language. And the language of the scriptures that come was Syriac Arabic or Syriac Hebrew, the Phoenician language that Father Abraham or Ibrahim spoke. And they called him an Arab, not in relation to who's in Saudi Arabia today, but because the word Araba in the language meant a person who wandered from place to place, was moved around. Because in Arabic, when we see Araba, we call a car an Araba. A car is Arabia. It's something that drives around. You understand? So when Ibrahim and his family, when they Yabra, Abra, Nahr, when they crossed over the river of Euphrates and Tigris, the people who were in the valley called the Phoenician, when he left for Judea, called him Abra, to come from one side to the next, which later became known as Hebrew. You understand? When he migrated up to the land of Haran, wandering, setting up altars, they said he is a Arab, one who moves from place to place. As he raised his flocks in different places, they called him here Bedouani, or camel raisers and sheep raisers. As history holds it, man who is ignorant has now turned these into tribes. These are Bedouins. These are Arabs. These are Hebrews. When they were all the same people in the time of Abraham and speaking the same language. So it's not whether Arabic or Hebrew came first. Arabic and Hebrew are the same language. So when you go down to the Hebrew language, Alif-Ba, right? Ta, Gimal, Dal, Ha, you go to the language, and Alif-Ba, Ta, Ta, Jim, Ha, Ta, in Arabic, you got the same language. There is no P in Hebrew. There is no J in Hebrew. They added a P and they added a J when it became Yiddish. You see? Which is a combination of other European languages. The original Hebrew and the original Arabic are the exact same language. And they both come from our father, Ibrahim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so ruthless that in the Quran, he directs Muslims to follow Abraham's religion. Throughout the Quran, when Muslims maliciously, after the Prophet Muhammad, have turned and made a new religion, and it's become Muhammad's religion. And they worship hadith and books of men, when the Quran openly is telling them to follow Abraham's religion, which would mean that all the covenants that apply to Ben Israel would apply to Ben Israel. It would be the same family again. They would have come back together under one covenant. You follow? But egotistical human beings who want to be leaders have split the family of Abraham again. And thus you have people call themselves Arabs, and you have people call themselves Israelis, etc. That's just the work of Shaitan again, just as busy as he could be, with no circular, no root to any truth. A fact, just their opinion about what they think English translations of the Quran are saying. And it's a sad thing, because many souls are getting lost by ignorant people who want to be leaders. Leaders are not made, they are born.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. I was wondering if you can show me all the quotes in the Bible where Jesus, where the Creator introduced other prophets as his only son.
Go to Psalms 2.
Okay.
This is talking to David. You know David, the father of Solomon,
yes,
who received the song. Make note of what he said. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, now stop. When you see the word anointed, that's the Hebrew word Misha, or a Mitzvah, or a Messiah. Okay, they're calling David a Messiah. Okay? Now, look what they say. Let us break their bond asunder and cast away their cords from us. The kings of the earth and the rulers of the earth set out to destroy Israel. The kings of the earth and the rulers of the earth did not set out to destroy Jesus. Just the Romans. You follow that? And they had emperors, not kings. So that's another one. Go on. Number 4. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. the Lord shall have them in derision. The Heavenly Father is laughing at these people who try to destroy Israel and have them in derision, going all kind of crazy ways. 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore distress. Then the Almighty will send a wrath down on them, right, and vex them. Rome, the Roman Empire did not get a wrath down on them during the period of time of Jesus' crucifixion. In fact, for the Christians, after that, all the disciples started getting persecuted and burnt and tied and, right? So this means it's still talking about, I'm going to show you how this can't be talking about Jesus. Now we go on to 6. Yet I have set my king upon his holy mountain of Zion. Well, that is, the Lord said, he put his king. What was David called? King David. And he was over the new city of Jerusalem at the time. That's not the city of Revelation. David had the temple of Solomon originally built. And that was the first Zion. Okay? We're still talking about David. I will declare a decree. The Lord has said unto me. Now he's talking David in the first person. What does it say there? Read it to me. Go.
At this day have I begotten.
That's the same quote that Christians use for Jesus. Right? But this is talking about David, not Jesus. This is before Jesus was even conceived. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. And they said about Israel that they will say to the uttermost part of the earth, go on, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like the potter's vessel. Jesus did none of those things. Correct? 10. Be wise now, therefore, O king, talking to Israel. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth, talking to the judges that are mentioned in the book of Israel, the king, and then the book of Judges, you follow? Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, talking about David again, because he was the king. Let him be angry and he perish from the way, because he had the power to put you to death, is what Israel would do if you disobeyed the king. When his wrath is kindled, but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now read the next line, what does it say? A psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom's son. It goes on to give you another psalm. Let's go on to the third. You follow?
Yes.
So that's a direct quote where David is called the begotten of the Father. Now let's go back to Genesis, to pluralize it. Genesis chapter 6, right? And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, correct?
Yes.
What happened?
Sons of God.
Go back and read that third word again.
Sons of God.
Is that plural?
Yes.
That's right. That the sons of God saw what?
The daughters of men that they were dead.
Now go down and read number 4.
They were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men.
I hear the Bible again. It's saying God has more than one son. Correct? We can go on to the lindacy of Jesus according to the Bible in the book of Luke, and we're going to get where they call Adam the Son of God. Luke chapter 3, verse 38. You got it? Give it time. Now, if you would have read all before this, it starts giving you the son of this, who's the son of this, who's the son of that, who's the son of this, right?
Yeah.
Then when you get down to 38, which says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of who?
Adam.
Who was what?
The son of God.
You understand?
Yes.
This can go on and on throughout the Bible. They don't know what they're talking about. They made this up. Now, if people want to understand what they mean that Jesus is the son of God, then they should ask. Because it has a lot to do with the languages of the scriptures. You follow?
Yes.
And when they translate it to English, they only have one word for son. And y'all use it so many different ways. You have S-U-N, of course, which is the genetic, it's not the genetic son. But S-O-A is used so much out of context. Now, a boy who's adopted by a man is called his what?
Son.
And a boy who's conceived by a man is called his
son.
But in Hebrew, in the Semitic languages, it's not the same word. See, when a boy is conceived by someone, he's called woman. Wa-la-da. Okay? But when he is adopted, he's called Ibn. Or Ibnu, son of. And whenever they speak about Jesus or anybody in the Bible other than the angels, they use Ibn Allah, the son of, by adoption. When they speak of the angels, they use Ibn sometimes because they were conceived out of Allah's life. You see? That's the trick. In the language, a minor language translation problem is where they got all the confusion. Was Jesus the son of God? Yes. But just like everybody else is the sons and daughters of God. What did Jesus say in Matthew? When the first line of the Lord's Prayer is what? Our Father. He did not say, my Father. Now, if Jesus was God, tell me what the second line says. Our Father what? Who asked him, I thought Jesus was God on earth. Jesus just made a statement that the Father was in heaven, and he's the one talking. Pray me after this manner. Our Father, including himself, who art in heaven. Now they say, you get married in the name of Jesus Christ and do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, hallowed be thy name, your name. The Jehovah's Witness say that Jesus has a kingdom. Jesus says, thy kingdom come. Jesus says you must do the will of him. According to Christians, Jesus says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that man who's talking there is not the father of the religion that's called Christianity. Because that first couple of lines, right there, contradicts the whole Christian faith. Our Father eliminates him being a personal son, who are in heaven, eliminates the fact that Jesus, the Christian said God was inside Jesus on earth. Holy is thy name. Eliminate the fact that Jesus' name is special. Thy kingdom come. Eliminate the fact that Jesus had a kingdom. Thy will be done. Eliminate the fact that we should obey anybody but the Heavenly Father. All earth as it is in heaven. And all of this was in future tense. Didn't even happen yet. These people lied. The Romans, who were men worshippers and worshipped a God called Zeus, they put that I as Zeus and created the word Jesus. And have people thinking that they're worshiping the Messiah or the Father through the Messiah, and they have them working the Roman, have them worshiping the Roman God Zeus.
Assalamu alaikum. I was wondering, you know, during the khutbah and so forth, we have your minbar, and what is the essence of standing up and sitting down while you're reading the khutbah? You know, you're towards the congregation and you're asking questions, or actually you're reading your khutbah. I want to know what was the essence of standing up and sitting.